This week, classic game preservation, lawsuits, remasters, teases, and the general lot. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to go play the original Medieval because I never did when I was younger, and its remake is coming out. That's what I'll be doing over the next couple of hours while listening to the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 794 for this September 29th of 2019. And my name is Rob Roberts, and joining me here in Studio N7 in Sacramento, California, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Happy New Year, Jews.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy Jew Year.
You had last week off.
Yeah.
How you doing?
On fire. There's a fire.
There's a fire in your heart?
My dark, rotten heart.
I see.
Burning away the rottenness and leaving me in a mood.
And
quote fingers. A mood.
And what's fanning those flames? Is it the wings of a goose?
I haven't played it yet.
It's a lack of Pepto.
Oh, hi, Tech Master Loki. How are you?
Hi, I'm here. Hi. As you can see on the camera. Or not, because you may be listening to us.
Yeah, they may be listening on the podcast feed.
Yeah, I think I need like a Zantac or something.
But if you want to watch us live, you can every week at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And you can chat along in our chat room, and we read some of the comments throughout the evening on the stream and on our show. And, of course, later in the show, we'll invite your calls via Discord. Or if you're feeling shy, of course, we take lots of questions from the chat room and all that good stuff. So we have to catch things up on Dark Sakura. We have to go over the outstanding agenda items from our last meeting, from meeting number 793.
Did you write the minutes?
So, yes. Item number one. Dark Sakura, I brought you an offering. It's a new little Mortal Kombat mini machine.
That I paid you for?
You did. but I talked a little bit about this on last week's show. I'm just kind of curious what you think of it in person. So this is
the buttons are kind of funky on it. Yeah, I mean, they're probably that way to be.
You know what? I didn't even notice it right off the bat. But there's six buttons on it instead of five.
That's really weird.
I think Loki noticed that like right off the bat. He was like, why is there six buttons?
I saw in the picture that you sent, but I was like, maybe it was just...
Well, then
it's a block button.
It's a port of the Genesis version. And although I don't know if they've confirmed it or not. You said that there was no blood in there, but it alludes to a blood code. And since it's the Genesis version, you'd think that you'd still be able to put the blood code in.
It doesn't say anything on it.
Yeah, I didn't.
About licensing.
To be honest, I haven't really turned it on and played with it yet. That's something I hope to do a little later. So, we'll see. Anyway.
I'm turning it on.
Yeah. I already played a little bit with it on this feed last week, so I don't want to repeat ourselves too bad. But I just wanted to see what you thought of that in person now that you're
it
here.
It doesn't look like the Genesis version, though. It's got better animation.
You think? It looks like the Genesis version to me. But it might be different hardware in there. Who knows? Anyway. There was another outstanding agenda item. Oh, yes. Things of super importance. Because, you know, we do talk video games here at Orange Lounge Radio, but once in a while, other things come up, too. So Loki tried to go back to the chicken place last week, and guess what? They're gone. They're gone. Out of business already. It's been like a month.
Chicken?
The Korean chicken place?
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I know. A moment of silence, please.
They are officially gone.
Wow.
Because I did see, like, if you actually go up on Google reviews, someone posted the eviction notice. So it's legit. They've
Yikes.
Been evicted.
Yikes.
No more awesome chicken. At least I had it twice.
I hope it wasn't because they failed a health inspection, like, real bad or something. It's,
well, whatever they were doing, whatever rat feces were in there, it was delicious. So
that was actually the flavor, apparently. All right. Anyway, that's what made it taste so good.
It's like, maybe I should try rat feces more often if it tastes like buttery chicken. Yeah.
All right, let's get into games, dang it. There's a lot going on this week in the gaming world. TwitchCon was this week, TwitchCon is more one of those, like, it's gaming culture, obviously. Obviously, we're fans of Twitch here because we're doing our show here live on Twitch before it goes to the podcast feed. But I think there's lots of people that have certainly consumed Twitch in one way or the other. And I know you might be out there thinking, oh, I'm more a Mixer person. Mixer is better. Or I like to go on YouTube. I think there's better stuff on YouTube. I still kind of think, even if you're a fan of an alternative platform for whatever reason, these sorts of conventions are good to keep your eye on because, you know, since there is a little bit more competition coming from specifically Mixer, I think, in this space, because we all know the Ninja thing. And by the way, on a complete tangent.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Y'all know I watched that singing Who's Under the Mask show, right? The Masked Singer. What was I was not expecting freaking Ninja of all people to be one of the celebrities. I mean, there's your representative. Oh, you know what's funny though, because when he got introduced, this is how you know it's not live and that they taped this stuff like months ago, because Nick Cannon, the host, actually said Twitch streamer, like Twitch guy. He actually said Twitch's name, even though all this shit about Mixer has happened when like several weeks ago. But yeah, he was one of the celebrities that was in the mask. Him and Johnny Weir, who is a great figure skater, if you've ever like watched that stuff. Anyway,
he sung all right.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you know, but there's I just think I love the costumes. So nobody's that great a singer. Well, I don't
it
know.
It was very much Rumor a Fortnite costume. Like, I would not be surprised if that's a new skin that's coming to Fortnite.
Oh God, yeah, probably. Anyway, all right. Not to get on that tension too much, but I couldn't help but bring it up. But I still think, you know, in that competitive outlet with everything, like, you kind of want to watch what Twitch does because, you know, other people are going to respond to it in various ways, whether it be with their own, you know, new features that are inspired by Twitch or vice versa. Sometimes Twitch kind of borrows things from other places. So anyway, Dark Tetsuya in our chat over Twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, wow, he got on that show? Yeah, go figure. Yeah, how does that conversation even start? Like, what's our dream list of people we want to be on The Masked Singer? Hey, someone get that Ninja guy. And it's not like it can even be like, oh, he'll promote it with his fans. He can't. None of them can, because you don't know who's in there until they get kicked off the show. Right? It's weird. I don't know. Anyway. ActDev says this is a gaming podcast. Hypothetically, I mean, that's the category things are under.
He plays games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, anyway. All right, moving on. Let's talk about what happened at TwitchCon. So TwitchCon was this last weekend. I'm a little bit sad I couldn't go. I haven't been in several years. The last TwitchCon I went to was when they had it at the Moscone Center. And I want to say that was almost 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago at this point. But that actually – so it was actually our voiceover guy who's a big Twitch supporter and community, you know, person. He's in a lot of Twitch channels, including this one. Jason like was like, no, I have an extra ticket. You're going to TwitchCon. You can come up here for the day. Come on. And I'm actually really glad he forced me to go, because that really helped me like get Twitch a lot more and actually kind of inspired me to do kind of what's happening now. I mean, eventually it wasn't a direct path to OLR being on Twitch, but I don't think we would have got here without that. So, yeah, TwitchCon was very inspiring. So I've kind of wanted to go every year since, but they've had it on really bad weekends. They usually have it around Halloween, and I'm almost always committed to hosting a show like October, because y'all know I do hosting gigs here locally on the side for Cult Cinema and Burlesque and stuff, and so I do like improv and stuff. So October is a crazy month for that stuff. September would have been great if I didn't start a new job just 3 weeks ago, so I couldn't make it. But next year, they've already announced – that's one thing to point out. They've already announced the dates for next year, and there's two Twitch cons because they're going to have one in Amsterdam earlier in the year as well. So, but I will definitely go next year, assuming it doesn't like sell out or something silly. So as we mentioned, there's going to be a European Twitch con that will happen May 2nd and 3rd, 2020, and San Diego will be the home once again for Twitch con next year, and it's not in October. It's kind of the same weekend next year. It's the last weekend of September, the 25th through the 27th. Some new things that are going to be coming to Twitch. There's going to be a creator dashboard, so you can actually set up actions on your dashboard. It sounds to me a little bit like these little Stream Deck clicky things.
Yeah.
Like that the new dashboard is kind of inspired by that a little bit. So, you know, we like our push buttons to be able to do things, so it sounds like it might be a little bit like that. This is really cool too. Viewers will be able to earn points for doing things you're already doing that you can use for rewards like tier one emotes, highlighting a message, or other things that we decide to turn on for you. I'm sure we here at VOG Network will do something with that. I just don't know what we'll do with that yet. I'm not going to promise we'll turn everything on, but I mean, I could see where like the highlighting the messages, or I'm big on emotes. Like we could try to use some of that stuff. So that sounds kind of interesting. This is also a big, big deal. Ads are going to change on Twitch. So ads will not necessarily be right at the top of the feed. You know how like if you go to a channel that you're not subscribed to, you get like a pre-roll ad? Those may not necessarily be there moving forward, because now affiliates as well as partners will be able to ad drop midstream. So if we wanted to, when we wanted to take a quick 30-second studio break or something, we could play an ad. I'm not saying we're doing that. I don't know how it's going to work yet. We got a lot to talk about and dissect. And most importantly, we have to see it in action. You gotta know what tools you really have, because there's the spiel that they give on stage, right? And this is the same thing with E3 or any type of show where they're showing a new game. There's the spiel they give you on stage, and then it's what it really looks like, right? There's No Man's Sky. There's what they show you on stage, and then there's what it really looks like when it comes out. And then it's awesome 3 years later, to be fair. There's the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which looked pretty good on stage. Like, there's no way the game's going to look that good. And now that they're actually showing it, it's like, oh, holy shit, it does kind of actually look that good. So, but anyway, we have to see kind of what the ads and all that stuff really look like. So that will be interesting. And also, they're going to be building in a new studio to make it easier for new creators to get started with setup. There's going to be templates, you know, kind of making the path to streaming a little bit easier. Let me ask a question of everybody here in studio as well as in our chat room. Is this a good thing that the accessibility and the way to be able to stream is going to get easier, or is it going to saturate what might already be an oversaturated website? Like, are too many people live streaming?
I don't necessarily think it's going to oversaturate anything, because people can already stream. It's just that you're not going to have all the, you know, templates and everything to make it look more professional. It's just, this is adding that kind of polish to your average stream, so that kind of brings everybody up, so that the quality's much better than just like some really shit quality stream that is in a really low resolution with just, I don't know, graphics made in paint and who knows. I don't know what the worst case scenario would be, but I think it's just helpful tools that they have to kind of like make their platform seem more desirable than, say, like Mixer or something like that. So it's like, hey, look, you know, we'll make it easy. Here's some pieces that you can use to kind of get yourself started.
Dark Sakura, what do you think?
I agree with that. And there's another aspect to this, and that's branding. Twitch has to provide a set standard that's going to fit their brand. Everything, even if it's individual content providers doing their things, they're still going to have something that ties it all back to Twitch, and not just that you're using their interface.
Actually, you may not be aware of this, and I think you should definitely look at this, and I'll have to send you the direct link if I can find it, or maybe somebody can put it in chat. Twitch, as part of this whole TwitchCon everything, did a massive rebranding. Like, they haven't reinvented the site completely, but they kind of went, here is our tweaked logo, and this is why we tweaked it. Here is our new color of purple, and this is why we went with a brighter purple. And then they said, here's all the official shades that we will support. And they named them all after video game-related things. So there's like a Jiggly is one of the colors, because it looks like Jigglypuff, and so on and so on. There's all these different colors. And they said, we're changing our font, and the new font is this, and this is why we're going with this font. And I thought, as I was reading it, I actually thought of you, because I know you're a big, like, you went to school for design and all that stuff, and I kind of thought, I bet Jamie would appreciate that they're not just saying, we're changing our brand, but they're kind of explaining, this is what we want to say with it. Mm-hmm. We're picking a bolder purple because we want to be bolder. You know, that type of thing. I thought that was interesting.
No, I'll be honest. I love the concept of rebranding. I like it when it's done in a very seamless method. Like when they say, you know, we're still using purple, but we're using this shade of purple now. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at this one shade of pink, you look at it and you always think Barbie, right? If you look at that combination of purple and black, today, most of the time for branding, we're going to think of Twitch. And that's why they're, you know, with them choosing their specific colors, that makes brand recognition at a glance when you just look at the color. You know, if you look at, you know, a couple of V's and one of them's orange and one of them's blue, you're going to think of Chevron. You know, it's that immediate recognition. But I also think, though, that tying in all the rest of this is another part of that branding re-effort.
That's right. You know what? You're right. In certain circles, anyway, because I bet some people, when they see the purple and black, or at least the old purple, I think this new purple is a brighter, bolder one that's going to really stick out. But like, I would say the old purple and black kind of looked like a sports team. Is it the Jaguars or something? There's a sports team that has the Kings here locally are like purple and white.
Yeah. So there's Kings are more using the purple and white.
But it depends. See, it depends what you're into, right? But maybe Twitch is going with a different shade of purple because it doesn't, like, this new purple doesn't look like a sports team. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I did notice things are a little brighter.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was very interesting, the branding, and especially you bring that up, like the brand. But let me go back to the question at hand about, should more people be getting into Twitch, or are there too many people in the pool? Kaijudo says, the more the better. Let's see. Fifth Dream says, it'd be nice if you could stream and make it look nice without having to be a fucking wizard in OBS. Yeah, this will be something that they're kind of working on there. So obviously, y'all know I'm a big proponent of more people getting their voices out there and heard. So yes, absolutely, I think this is a great thing. But here's the thing. I'm starting to notice a few too many people, including people I would consider good friends of mine and stuff, that think that they're going to make oodles of money by streaming on Twitch. That, like, you're going to get, all of a sudden, all these people are going to show up and you're going to make money just because you play video games online. And I kind of snicker to myself because I feel like I've been down this road before with podcasting, is that people will ask, well, how much do you make by podcasting? Because they think, oh, well, when I listen to RuPaul's podcast, I keep hearing ads for, you know, new mattress companies and things like that.
I have a response to that.
Yeah, what?
How much do you make sitting in your pajamas? How much do you make when you drive to the park?
Right.
Well, I don't get paid for that. You do it because you enjoy it, right? Why do you have to put monetary value on things that give you joy?
Right. So I just – that's my only thing, is that I am all for more people getting into Twitch and streaming. I really would ask somebody, what is your motivation for doing it? And if your motivation for doing it is that I want to hang out, I want to make some friends and hang out and play games online, cool, you're doing it for the right reason. I want to start a community, awesome reason. I want to get my voice out there because I don't feel represented by what's already out there. Fucking incredible, amazing reason, do it. But if your reason is, I want to make money, just stop, honey, stop. Don't waste our time. You're going to be disappointed.
A teeny bit.
And then everybody else is going to be disappointed.
You're going to be able to buy that taco, dear. You'll be able to buy that taco.
So you've got to really, like, ask yourself the motivation. And at the end of the day, if your motivation is making community, getting your voice out there, I want to be heard more than anything else, then yes, do it. And everybody should be out there doing it. Kaijudo in chat says, I don't think people think they're going to make a lot of cash. YouTube streamers broke the fourth wall on that. Most know it's a little bit. You'd be a little surprised. Tiger Claw says, what about those that use places like Patreon?
As long as you're not using Kickstarter.
Patreon is fine. But I mean, again, like it's one of the, like, again, you have to do what's best for you. I would just say, don't go into Patreon with the expectation, oh, if I sign up for a Patreon, I'm going to get $50 a month for sure, you know, because that may not happen. And you're just going to set yourself up for disappointment. Like, why are you going to make $50 a month? That's the number one question to ask yourself. Why are you going to make that money? Anyway, let's see. What else do I have here? I wanted to give a shout out in our chat to TSS Tech Angel, who back in the day, I'm going to call her by her old name, DDR Angel, okay, back in the day, was actually at TwitchCon. And I know Angel is a big fan and proponent, I guess, of Twitch. And she is in chat saying, hey, guys, just got back. I'm freaking exhausted. It went well. I gave away all 300 art cards that I'd painted. Well, I'm super sad I didn't go to get one of those cards. But, you know, new job and everything. So, and Angel says, I'm not in it for the money either. If it happens, sure. But I'm there to enjoy doing what I do. But you know what's awesome, Angel, is like what you just said. You gave away art. You gave away you didn't just give away art. You gave away 300 pieces of art. And like, that is something I don't think you can put a price on. You know what I mean? Like, that's awesome. So congrats and kudos. That's amazing. Bobby Blackwolf in chat talking about the money thing, saying, I'm part of the local Twitch streamer meetup group. I am one of the few people who don't have aspirations of being a full-time Twitch streamer, and they think I'm crazy. So, anyway, now you're going to laugh because I'm going to say that. And then at the same token, I'm going to say, but if you want to subscribe here to VOG Network on Twitch, you can. Doing so gives you access to the archives and so forth. And we love the bits and all that stuff. But it's one of those things where we don't expect it. We've been doing this show for how many years? 17 plus?
Yeah.
We don't. Do we look? Now you can see us. Do we look like we're rolling in cash? No. But we will be using money to buy nominal upgrades and, you know, kind of keep our website running and things like that. So it's good.
Is this just a facade? It's really in our mansion that you just don't see?
It's my fucking mansion. Here's the thing. I will put it this way. I in the interest of transparency, I will say this. I was paying out of pocket to run Vogue before. And Bobby was too. Like, it's not just poor me. Like, Bobby was too. We've all put in money here or there or whatever. But now the nice thing is I'm not paying out of pocket to keep a radio feed running anymore to deliver this show. Like, we're able to do that and so forth. Some of the fees for running a business, and you'd be surprised, it costs money to have an official business. Like, you know, some of that money was being fronted by folks. And now your stuff has gone to that a little bit, which is really nice. So, you know, it all goes to that. Looking in chat, Sia Tiberian chat says, you guys don't look like you're rolling pennies, though. Well, it's something we should start doing.
Because they're all on my nightstand. Just like... pouring over.
One bit at a time. ActDev says, I really need to get back to streaming Pokemon Go. The Twitch Pokemon Go community needs more representatives. Yeah, if you think there's a game that isn't being streamed enough on Twitch, by golly, do it. This is true facts. I was streaming Dragon Quest earlier this week. Not Dragon Quest 11, but the original Dragon Quest. Because you might remember on last week's show, yes, we talked about the HD remakes were coming out the same day, right?
Right.
So I jumped on that original Dragon Quest game, which of course was Dragon Warrior on the NES here in the US. But we know that was a regional thing. So I was streaming that, and I was using the Dragon Warrior tag because there was no like Dragon Quest 1, so I used Dragon Warrior. And somebody brand new found my stream and was like, hey, what do you think of the remake? And was asking me questions about it. And he was like, I can't believe only two people are streaming this right now. I follow this tag because I love this game. He's like, I play this game once a month. And I'm like, are you a speedrunner or something? He's like, no, I just enjoy it. And I'm like, you know what? You never know who out there is going to appreciate that thing. Who would have thought there's like a Dragon Warrior 1 hardcore stan out there? There's more than one, I'm sure, that really appreciates that stuff. I would have never known if I hadn't just said, oh, I want to play this because the HD remake and I remember this as a kid. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it's so, pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Was there anything else I wanted to talk about from TwitchCon? Did I miss anything on the TwitchCon front? I guess we talked about some of the redesign things and the ad stuff and some of the – it's going to be, like, easier to stream. They're going to let you subscribe via mobile, which I guess is kind of cool. So you can do that. And some changes coming to, like, moderator views if you do that. And then, yeah, the channel points. So kind of neat. I was a little bit disappointed, though, that they did not give any follow-up on the, like, multi-stream or being able to stream with other people, kind of like what Mixer does natively. And on Twitch, I think partners can do it. But I was hoping they would roll that out at the affiliate level, and there wasn't anything like that at TwitchCon. So I was a little sad about that, but obviously it's like one of those, this is my wish list, my pie in the sky thing, and, you know, okay, we didn't get that this time. Maybe in the future. Who knows? So anyway. And Bobby's pointing out how the removal of some tags has really hurt some people, saying there used to be a virtual reality tag and that brought me viewers, but they killed it. The VR streaming community is actually abandoning Twitch over it.
That's what, like, I'm trying to remember, like, when I was doing streaming for, like, my live development stuff during that game jam, I had to use science and technology because there's nothing for, like, coding or game dev or something like that, which is weird.
Now, Rum Jump Stomp in chat with a fair counterpoint says you can do that, the multi-streaming thing, with a site called Multi-Twitch. I recognize that and I respect that. However, here's the problem. When it's not natively built into Twitch, this means that you have to go to this Multi-Twitch thing to be able to view it the way you want to see it, which you can only do from like a computer, right? But part of what makes Twitch really awesome and part of why I love broadcasting on it is that you can get Twitch on your PC, your Mac, your PlayStation, your Xbox, your mobile, your and so on. You just can't get it on the Switch yet. But you know what I mean. So you can't do like multi-Twitch on mobile. You can't do it on PS4. So whereas it's like, okay, that's a good Band-Aid, it's not really giving that full functionality that I'd like to see, if that makes sense. So anyway. Yeah, and Run Jump Stomp says it isn't as good as native. I agree. Yeah, so we agree on that part. So anyway, so that's a little bit about TwitchCon. I hope those of you that went had a great time, and I really look forward to being able to go next year, although I feel like I'm going to be the oldest one there if I go. Angel, did you see, are there people on Medicare because they're 65 and older and they're streaming? Do you see, was Wilford Brimley at TwitchCon? Or am I going to be the oldest one there if I go?
Is that Grandma Skyrim? One.
Oh,
does she stream on Twitch?
If I go with you, I'll be older than you.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So whatever.
That's, you know, one thing I really, really like about Dragon Con is that there really is an age spread. I mean, yeah, I see a lot of people in their 20s and their 30s, but there's quite a damn lot of people that go to Dragon Con that are in their 40s and 50s. And honestly, I think even older than that. So that's another, you know, obviously I'm a huge Dragon Con fan at this point, but that is one real reason I really love that con, because you just, you get the spread of everything there. So anyway. All right, let's move on. Enough about TwitchCon. Let's talk a little bit about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, you've been gone for a couple weeks. How was your gaming week? What'd you do?
I have been playing a lot of Patterned on Apple Arcade. I really, really have been enjoying what I got on Apple Arcade, except there's this one game that I thought I was going to like, and so far the beginning of it is just like ridiculously boring. It's the one that Square Enix did. Hold on, I'll get the name of it. Various Daylife. Yeah, I'm kind of bored with it already. But I've been playing Patterned, and I started Pinball Wizard, which the physics in it are unique. I don't really care for it that much.
Is the Apple Arcade thing free if you get a new phone, or am I mixing it up with Apple TV? Or Apple TV Plus or whatever.
Apple TV Plus for a year.
Okay, I'm mixing it up. Never mind.
Apple Arcade has a 1 month free trial, and after that, it's $4.99 a month. But if you've got family sharing, your entire family uses the one sub.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we talked a little bit about Apple Arcade, I think, last week when you weren't here. But I was like, the $5, that's lower than I was expecting. I would have thought $10. So, interesting.
But I really enjoyed Tint, and I played a little bit of Sayonara Wild Hearts.
I had a whole thing on that game last week. I love that game.
It's really pretty. I downloaded Shinsekai, and I really am looking forward to playing that. I got Cat Quest 2, and I'm probably I got Shantae, but now that we've updated my Apple TV, I'm probably going to be playing it on Apple TV. So if I can get everything set up, I might actually be streaming from my Apple TV.
Why not?
For Apple Arcade stuff. And then I got Oceanhorn 2, but I've got so many things on my plate. I also went through Detroit Become Human so I could watch The Good Story. Holy shit. How come I never touched that game before or never watched anything about it? That game is fucking amazing.
It took me like 2 years to find Mass Effect. No, longer than that. I didn't find Mass Effect till the third game was just about to come out. And then even after I was like, Jamie, play Mass Effect. Jamie, play Mass Effect. Then finally after 9 months, you were like, okay, I'll play Mass Effect. Ooh, Garrus.
Oh, look who has a Tumblr with over 10,000 followers about Mass Effect.
You're welcome.
That I haven't looked at in 6 months. I finally let it die.
How interesting observation, though, because before we talk about Detroit Become Human, which I know a lot of people really love that game, and people that like don't even play a lot of games, like when I was doing my little Survivor game and meeting people, like there were people like, I don't play a lot of video games, but I love Detroit Become Human. Like if you have a PlayStation 4, you have to play that. I was like, that's kind of a random one, but sometimes these story-driven games are really big.
Oh, it's free now, so, or was free.
I think I did grab it during PlayStation Plus. That's good. But I want to kind of just like an observation. We've been doing this segment, the How Was Your Gaming Week, a very long time. And I can't remember the last time you talked about this many games in your gaming week.
Except for the cons.
Okay.
Well, it's just because like...
No, I'm saying it's a good thing because I'm kind of like, is this because of a subscription service like Apple Arcade? Is this like now that you're at the buffet and you get to try everything, you're just like,
feed me. It's just easier for me to do things on my phone until Animal Crossing comes out and I take the Switch with me. It's just there really hasn't been a lot that's like sparked my interest that much. I mean, I'm looking at shit like, okay, you're going to give me something that is actually going to be interesting and fascinating for my kind of brain, you know? And the thing I liked about Detroit is the whole psychological aspect to it. I will admit, I don't think I can do any of the bad playthroughs because they would just make me sob. They really would make me sob. I would play it the same way every time. But it was just such a really, really good story. And I think that I need more narrative games like that to really keep me into it. You know, I also went back and watched the Kara demo. And that, because I had watched that before. And I thought that was really interesting. And I had interest in that game after the, you know, when they announced it. And then I was like, you know, just sort of like very blasé about, you know, my gaming. Well, we did also get Link's Awakening, which Dan has now beat twice, regular mode and hero mode. And it's cool. is pretty. I love the music in it.
What do you think about it compared to the Game Boy version? I think it's it doesn't feel like an old game. It feels like a brand new game.
I lost interest in the Game Boy version really early on, I'll be honest, when it was new. I didn't enjoy playing it that much. But I really enjoy this one. The music is great. It's got the quirkiness. And it's made me go back in and do comparisons on things. And even though Totaka didn't work on this game, all of the Easter eggs for Totaka's theme from the Japanese version are even in the U.S. one. So if you put in your name as Totakeke, you get the... In fact, I put a little video up on it, I think, on my Instagram. But you get a jazzy version of it. And if you put your name in as Zelda, you get like a really jazzy version of the old Legend of Zelda theme. But then if you go into the prince's place, he was from a game called The Frog for Whom the Bell Tolls, rough translation of it. But if you go into the prince's house and he's got all the frogs everywhere, if you just hang around there for a little while after, I'll play Totaka's theme.
I noticed that the mayor from Sim City was in the game. I was like, yep.
Mr. Wright.
Dr. Wright, because we named it Will Wright, yeah. But who kind of looks like Will Wright, actually. But a little bit. Will Wright obviously doesn't have green hair. But I was like, wow, it's weird that they put him in that game.
Kirby.
Cool.
Kirby's still there.
Oh, really?
Shy Guys are still there.
Yeah.
You got the Chain Chomps in there. The thing that's cool is that they have, like in the Crane game, you get, I think, other types of figures for Mario enemies, and you can place them in people's houses. They have like little pots and stands for them, and that was really cool. And Dan was doing just the fishing game and got a blooper. I think I put a picture of that up on my Instagram too.
It's almost like Link's Awakening is almost in some ways like a Zelda parody game.
Did you ever watch The Gaming Historian about that one?
No.
It's really worth a watch because basically they started off making the game just to see if it would be possible to make a Legend of Zelda game on the Game Boy. It was a sort of a what if. And this was like their after hours personal project. And then it actually got the right attention. They pitched it as a game. And basically their whole thing was, well, it's on Game Boy. No one's going to care. Let's put what we want in it. That was like literally it. And so like that's why you've got like Kirby's as enemies and you have like really weird puzzles. Like I love the chess puzzles. It's basically if you pick up a knight piece, you have to throw it the way a knight moves on a chessboard. And the puzzles in that one are really creative, you know, just really, really clever. And I like the really cutesy art style. And the other thing that's pretty neat about it too, you know, and I'm not going to spoil it if no one ever knows how that game is supposed to end. And if you do, then whatever. It's a, you know, old game. I don't care. I'm not going to spoil it. But the art styles, it kind of does to me this, like with the intro video and then the ending video, it almost has a kind of Wizard of Oz vibe to me in the changes in the art style. I'll leave it at that. It's like you've transitioned from one aspect of the story to the other and back. So I really enjoyed it. Toad's in the game, of course, but Wart. He doesn't go by Wart. And the singing is absolutely terrible. I love it. It was very well done. I was very happy with it. Cool. And I loved going around finding the Easter eggs. And then I cried about the ghost. It's just sad. And then I like when you can throw the monkeys out of the trees because they're assholes.
So you played this game very thoroughly in the past couple weeks.
Dan mostly did because he wanted to go through hero mode.
Uh-huh.
So, but sometimes you need your wife there saying, you need to look at the map.
Backseat driving, basically.
We're turning this Link around. So, and I mean, I've been doing my usual Animal Crossing. I finally got my levels high enough in Idle Pouring to rebirth, and now I can't beat fucking Osiris to do the rebirth. So, like, whatever. So I have to keep leveling so I can rebirth. So, I'm actually getting really tired of playing that game, and I'm probably not going to renew my sub after it expires. I'm just getting really tired of it. Been doing Pokemon and Harry Potter. Patterned, to me, is one of the best games on Apple TV. Not Apple TV, but Apple Arcade. It is absolutely...
What are you doing in this game? It's a puzzle game?
It's a puzzle game, but it's kind of unique. It's a tiled, you know, like wallpaper, like a tiled picture where it's seamless, right? But when you get the picture, it sketches. And you have different cutout pieces that match the, you know, different parts of the sketch. And as you move that piece in, it fills in color and it gets more and more opaque the more and more pieces that you bring in until you finish the whole piece. And I actually put video up somewhere. I will see if I can find that video. I'll put it up on my Instagram and link it in chat. So, you know, just like, you know, an example of moving a piece and so you can see what it looks like. So I'll put that up in just a few minutes. But yeah, that's kind of like for me, my shining star, that and Tint, which is another puzzle game where you start off with your primary colors, but you have to mix them through one other color and get to your gold that matches this little flower that's going to bloom and take you on the next piece of the puzzle. So it's using primary colors to create secondary colors, but sometimes you have to avoid another color because if you cross a second color, it'll turn that mud gray color when you've oversaturated. So it's a pretty neat little game. So those two are like probably my shining stars for Apple Arcade right now.
Okay, great. All right, well, that you had a very busy past couple weeks. Mine was not nearly as busy.
I'm drinking out of underwear. Okay.
Oh, you just
I grabbed a cup and I was like, oh, this is a neat it's underwear.
You can show it on the Twitch stream for our folks that are watching there. I don't remember where that came from. I think it was like a joke gift that that Alan got or something. I don't remember.
This is Puntsu.
Yeah. All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
Well, I did also play Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Not because I was like actually playing, is because my son won. My youngest son's been playing it, and I've been helping him with the parts that he can't do, which means I've played through like the dungeons, basically. It's fun. I'm noticing a lot of slowdown, though, as everyone's kind of pointed out. But it's a decent game, so it'll be fun to actually go back and play it on my own at some point. The game, though, I did play on my own was Untitled Goose Game, so I did finish that and then got the second set of challenges, and I'm, like, halfway through those. But there's some that, like, you have the speed run, which I'm like, eh.
What do you think? Because I feel like everybody has gotten around to playing this game except for me. Like, I know Bobby did a live stream this week, and Shane has been telling me I need to play this game, but I just didn't get around to it. I've had a lot of other stuff going on.
It's really fun.
Yeah?
Yes.
Why?
Because you're a complete asshole to everybody. And then once you get done with the game, you find out that the whole objective of the game is just being a complete asshole. And that's just like the best part about it.
Apparently it is still $15, and this may be the reason I make an Epic account.
Well, it's also on sale on the Switch.
I can play it on my Mac.
Oh. But yeah, so it's fun to be an asshole to everybody in the town. It's great.
Just put that on the back of the box.
And it's great.
It's fun to be an asshole.
It's great because like you just like stare like the way the goose looks at people and stuff, and the way people like look frustrated at it, and you're just like, what? The fuck you want, you know?
Honk.
Oh, exactly. It's like, what the fuck you want? So
it's just basically, can we just download a new skin for the goose that is just Mr. Smush? Because I feel like there's lots of other asshole animals that would work very well in this game.
Yes, it's an excellent game. So I have a lot of fun with it. It isn't a very long game, but it's fun because you can kind of do whatever you want in there, especially when you get later on into the game and you have some of those new challenges that open up once you finish the game that require you to use stuff that's kind of not specific to a certain level. So you have to kind of move around the whole map, and it kind of changes things up. Plus, the last mission of it, it's like you have to be very stealthy because you have a, you know.
Don't something. Spoil.
You're making lots of noise, and everybody's out to look for you now. So it's kind of like a little Metal Gear Solid action going on there. But I had quite a bit of fun playing that game, so I hope that there's more at some point, and I really hope that I actually get around to finishing it. I don't know what the very, very last objective is, but I know the speedrunning ones are going to be hard.
All right. That's it?
That's it.
All right. My gaming week, not as exciting as everyone else's. I didn't really get around to doing new stuff because I was still playing the good old mobile games like Pokemon Go and Ingress. This is going to be a very interesting week in Ingress because Scanner Redacted, the old version of the app, the one that many people are still clinging to after all this time, closes tomorrow. And they say they really are pulling the plug on Redacted tomorrow. So you're going to have to use Ingress Prime. This is going to be very interesting to see because a lot of people are threatening to quit with that. So I don't... We'll see what happens. If people really do quit, or they just need to scratch the itch of taking over their neighborhood park or what. So I'll be very curious to see where that game is in about a week, especially with a big event coming up right here in Sacramento on the 12th. So that will only be playable in the new scanner, which is interesting. So there's that. Otherwise, I've been continuing on in Classic WoW. Believe it, I'm still playing Classic World of Warcraft. My priest is up to level 20, or yeah, 21. I did a Deadmines run on Saturday. Now, here's the thing. Like, now, if you play retail WoW and you do the Deadmines, you'll get through it in, like, 15 minutes. Like, you face pull everything. It's super easy, right? Oh, my God. Classic WoW is a humble reminder of really how much the game has changed, especially when it comes to, like, quality of life things, like having a fucking map to get you through the dungeon or not having to wait for the priest to drink after every single fight because she's out of mana, which was happening to me all the time. It took us, I shit you not, 2 hours to get through Deadmines. But I remember running that. Deadmines is the very first instance, like, group thing you do in World of Warcraft. And I remember years ago back in the day, that's how long it took. Like, that was your evening. That was your D&D campaign for the night. We're going to go to the Deadmines.
Who needs to raid?
I know, right? So that was, yeah. Anyhow. That was a nice little humble taste of what things used to be like in WoW. But it's interesting because I was doing that, and then I was like, maybe I should go back and play a little retail WoW. But I still really love my other MMO, Final Fantasy XIV, and I'm up to level, I don't know, like 75 or something like that. I'm almost max level on two different job classes, so that's really fun. I've been playing a little bit of Diablo 3 on Switch. Very random, but do you know I've never played a Necromancer in Diablo 3? And I finally did on the Switch version because I never bought that PC upgrade. I said I wasn't going to because I didn't want them putting out a half-assed expansion, and I never did. But then, of course, I like quadruple dipped on Diablo 3, so way for me to show them a lesson, huh? So I picked that up on Switch. I had bought it a while ago, but I was picking it up and playing it again. I was like, I should do a Necromancer for this season. So it's like the first time I'm finally playing that class. And exploding corpses is fun. That's what Necromancers do, explode corpses.
All right. Yay.
Yay. So that's pretty much my gaming week. So we'll move on and get into some gaming news. Some housekeeping. I don't think we're going to be here pretty much every week, but we will not have a show live. I have to talk to my lovely co-hosts about taping something during the week in advance, but we will not have a show live the week of October 20th. And we won't have one live the week of November, I think it's 9th. Those dates may not be exact. Reason why, I had a work thing come up at the end of October, so I'm not going to be here. November is my trip to New York. I'm going to go see Broadway plays. So when cool. OLR would usually be on, I'm going to go see Moulin Rouge. I'm really excited about it. So anyway, so we'll do some taped, because that worked really well last time when we did our show like earlier in the week, and then we just premiered it on Sunday. So we'll do something like that again for you guys. But then episode 800 is like when we're back. So the next live show, really close to 20 November, actually, will be episode 800. So that'll be fun. So, all right, let's get into some gaming news for this week. Loki, why don't you start us off?
All right. So there was the whole PlayStation State of Play event that they did online. So you could definitely watch that. It was pretty much the Last of Us Part 2 show because they had basically a big rundown talking about The Last of Us Part 2, which is going to be coming out February 21st, 2020. Along with that, some other stuff that is going to be coming, Civilization 6. And
yay, I love Civ 6.
Yeah, Civ 6. So that's coming to the PlayStation 4 on November 22nd.
I guess I didn't realize it wasn't on play because it came out on Switch. And I was like, that's weird. They're doing a console release of Civ 6. But I
Civ
guess
6? Yeah.
Yeah, Civ 6 was on Switch. And it was kind of a big deal when it happened because I was like, they're putting Civ 6 on consoles? But, they put it on the iPad, too, to be fair. So I guess consoles make sense. It's on Switch and now PS4. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it would make sense that if you put it on Switch, you probably would just, make it for PlayStation 4. Where's the Xbox One version? Because that seems very likely that's going to happen, too. Who knows?
Coming in the pipeline, I guess. They released a demo for the remake of Medieval. So you can check that out now, and if you play it, you...
Which Jason said he was going to do in the intro.
Yes, you can get a game for the, or a special item for the full game if you actually finish that with before the game comes out next month. Death Stranding, they announced a pro bundle that's coming out November 8th that has like a handprint design on it that looks like I could have just taken my hand and put it in paint and just went...
I don't know why you've waited this long to get a PlayStation 4 if this game is of interest to you, but shoot yourself. Maybe it's a collectible. I don't know.
Sure. They had this game called Humanity, which I heard people comparing it to Intelligent Cube, but I didn't really see that other than, you know, kind of... It's weird, though. It's a weird-looking game where they basically have, like, crowds of people that you have to kind of shuffle through to certain areas, and they could fight each other, and I don't know. It's really weird, but... I like those weird puzzle games, so that's coming out in 2020. There's a game called Arise, A Simple Story, which is an adventure game coming soon. L.A. Noire, the VR Case Files, are coming out for PlayStation VR, which I'm surprised that hasn't come out before. And then they also showed off some other stuff coming out to PlayStation VR, including Space Channel 5, Kind of Funky... Newsflash.
Can't wait.
Yep. And Stardust Odyssey and After the Fall and Aspyr 1. And then let's see what else. The PlayStation Plus lineup for October is going to be MLB The Show 19 and The Last of Us Remastered to get you all ready for The Last of Us 2.
Sequel, so, yep.
And then finally, there was Wontom, which is a new game from the creators of Katamari Damacy.
And so he's he's unretired.
Yes,
making Playground Equipment anymore.
I have no fucking clue what you do in this game. I watched the trailer. I'm like, I don't know what you do in this game. It looked like more like Nobi Nobi Boy than Katamari. I did see flying golden poops, and someone vomited rainbows. So it already looks like a game I'm gonna check out.
Yeah, this is something I'm into. I know Dark Soccer is going to play this. Has to play it because Katamari Damacy, Nobi Nobi Boy, those are like two of your favorite games. So,
well, Nobi Nobi Boy on iOS was. I didn't play it too much on the console.
Yeah, same, same.
Mm. It just looks weird, and I dig that.
A comment on Wattam in our chat room. Dr. Tsuya says over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, though that Wattam game sounds all about as crazy as Katamari in those games, Nobi Nobi Boy, and I think there was another one. I don't remember if there was another.
There may have been.
Well, there were several Katamari games.
I thought there was like a mobile game.
Nobi Nobi Boy was the mobile game at first.
I thought there was another mobile game.
There might have been. I forget. A lot of people also think that Donut game is them.
No, that's totally different. Yeah, it's similar to Katamari, but except it's very linear, so it's not... I wouldn't say it's the same feel as Katamari because there's no time limits or anything like that. But I don't know. I was trying to see if there was another game that I'm missing here. Glitch was a game that he worked on in 2011.
Hmm.
And then he had Tenya Wanya Teens and Alphabet. Hmm. He was a designer on. What is Glitch?
A comment quickly on the Civ 6 issue from Metal Mayhem in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Metal Mayhem says, may as well put Civ 6 on consoles. After all, not everyone is a PC gamer. True. And the Civ games are great and should get out to as many people as possible. So why not?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that's it for the – what did you think overall of PlayStation's State of Play update?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
Apparently, the creator of Katamari, he moved to San Francisco.
Yeah, I heard that too.
He's living there.
Yeah, he lives in San Francisco.
Cool.
He has an open invite to come on the show anytime. We're only a 2-hour drive away.
Keita Takahashi.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on. This is going to seem like really random as a follow up to a PlayStation State of Play, but this is like one of those like, what the hell? What kind of romper room fuckery is this going on in the gaming industry up in here on this day? Okay, so this has to do with the classic 80s gaming icon Ms. Pac-Man, not to be confused with Pac-Man. Specifically, this drama centers around Ms. Pac-Man. Now, there's a nice little summary on what's going on here from Twitter user Sarah S. Sourty, and I'm reading some of the summary there directly from her Twitter, where it says, in summary, At Games wanted Ms. Pac-Man. So At Games makes some of those like flashback type content.
Yes.
Like, didn't they do the old Genesis things too?
Maybe.
I think so. So they do retro hardware type stuff. Like, that's like their bread and butter, okay? At Games wanted Ms. Pac-Man. Didn't get it because it's complicated. Went to make a deal with GCC, who owns the rights to Ms. Pac-Man, and claimed they 100% have those rights to distributors, and maybe they do, maybe they don't. An exciting story. Yeah, At Games actually put out a press release through PR Newswire. So this was on September 26, where At Games Cloud Holdings, a leader in interactive entertainment, announced that it has acquired all the rights of General Computer Corporation, GCC, with respect to Ms. Pac-Man's under agreement between GCC and Bandai Namco. So here's, I guess, what it sounds like is that At Games wanted to go to Bandai Namco to do it, and they were like, no. So they went to this GCC, General Computer Corporation, who, in the text here, in their own press release, Mac Games says, GCC developed in 1981 certain source code, characters, music, gameplay, and cartoons expressed in various media, including but not limited to read-only memory, ROM, used in running Ms. Pac-Man and Pac-Baby, sold as Junior Pac-Man games. In 1983, GCC entered into an agreement with the predecessor of Bandai Namco with regard to Ms. Pac-Man, which was later amended in 2008 in an agreement with Bandai Namco and the former shareholders of GCC, who had become the successors in interest to GCC after its dissolution. If it sounds messy, it's because it is. So this is essentially, since Bandai Namco said no, they went to the company who helped make the ROMs of the original game and did like coding, and they got it from them. And because, oh, they have the license, because what does At Games do? They do these retro game devices, right? So if they get the rights through these retro coding, you know, the code and the actual, like, physical and, I guess, you know, the intellectual code and stuff, now they're saying they own the rights.
In a quote,
hold on. Yeah. The CEO of At Games, I'm sorry if I mispronounced this name, Dr. Ping-Kang Xiang, I hope I said that right, I'm sorry if I didn't, says, as part of our ongoing initiative to be caretakers of important cultural touchstones, we are privileged to gain these valuable rights pertaining to the iconic Ms. Pac-Man arcade game. Now, you want to hear how things get even messier. From gamesindustry.biz on the 25th of September. Plug-and-play game maker At Games is facing another partner in court. In addition to a trademark infringement from Bandai Namco over Ms. Pac-Man, the company is embroiled in a lawsuit from Walgreens, the U.S. pharmacy chains. Walgreens filed suit against At Games for breach of contract in August, saying it had a deal with the game company that provided products on a guaranteed sale basis, meaning At Games would take any unsold units back and refund the chain whatever it paid them in addition for an additional fee and shipping cost. Walgreens said it returned more than 66,500 units, for which it had paid between $15 and $38, but At Games refused to make payment. As a result, Walgreens claimed it owed nearly $1.62 million from the company. Again, that story from gamesindustry.biz if you want to see some of the quotes.
Is this going to end up where Walgreens owns Ms. Pac-Man at some point? Is this where it's going?
I don't know, but this is weird. And it's certainly, like, it seems, I am inferring, I'm not saying this as fact, but in my opinion, and my opinion does not represent those of Vogue Network or my co-host, it sounds like this At Games company is a little bit shady. I'm getting that impression.
A little?
From the fact that they are, mommy said no, so we're going to go ask daddy. And this whole, they're not paying Walgreens, so they made some weird deal with Walgreens. I don't know, guys. It's allegedly sounds crazy. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, yeah, this whole thing is nuts.
Snuck and futz.
Exactly.
Which is a good beer, by the way.
Yeah, and by the way, there's another Twitter thread from user Sean Musgrave who's talking about the real-ass drama going on with At Games. And the way Sean puts it on Twitter, they've been pestering Namco for ages for the Ms. Pac-Man license, and Namco's turned them down because of the complicated royalty structures and ownership of that game. That's interesting to point out, too, is that a character like Ms. Pac-Man, it isn't so cut and dry. We're like, Namco Bandai owns this. Because it does get complicated, doesn't it? Because didn't, mm-hmm. like, Midway or something publish that in the U.S. at one point? Like, it gets weird when it comes to Ms. Pac-Man. Because in the 80s, video games were just kind of like done differently. I don't know how else to explain it. And so all the deals that were in place were sometimes very strange. Let's just say what it was. The games industry was on a lot of cocaine in the 1980s. And I mean a fucking lot of cocaine, okay? If you watch any documentary about how your favorite Atari games in the 1980s were made, cocaine was probably involved. Winners don't use drugs. Remember that. However, remember the video game industry crashed under the weight of all that cocaine. So, right? Am I wrong? Did I tell any lies? No, I did not. So
it seems plausible.
A lot of these deals, cocaine-infused deals, are really, really strange. And that's how 5,000 people claim ownership to Ms. Pac-Man. Anyway, Namco is in discussions with GCC, who developed Ms. Pac-Man, trying to buy them out so they'd be the full owners of Ms. Pac-Man full stop. But At Games went around Namco's back and was directly negotiating with GCC. Namco confronted At Games about this, and they deny it. Namco is unable to verify if At Games has or hasn't bought the rights from GCC. That was 2 days before the At Games press release when that tweet was written. So I think we know if At Games is saying there now. So this is – but here's the thing. And this is why I bring this up. Like, sure, it's drama and it's LOL, this is crazy, and what the fuck. But here's the reality, boys and girls. How are we going to see Ms. Pac-Man in a retro collection ever again? Because of these damn rights issues. And I'll point out, I know I was talking about that Mortal Kombat machine an awful lot last week, the little mini game, which is it At Games that do these? Who does? This is not At Games that do these. Basic Fun. So it's a completely different company that does these. But I didn't show off this one because I kind of whatevered it last week. But there's also a regular Pac-Man machine, right? There's a regular Pac-Man machine that they put out as well with this full color screen, fancy, all this stuff that they have, right?
Is that the company?
No.
That's
but
Basic Fun.
Ms. Pac-Man is there too. I even forgot they did this one, but I don't think this one is as good. And I think, oh, these guys, I'm trying to see if they have a relationship. Yes. Ms. Pac-Man, Bandai Namco Entertainment, Inc.
Yeah.
So they got the agreements for that one. But it's interesting that that company could do it, and it was easy. But At Games is having such crazy difficulty with it. It's weird. Anyway, looking in chat, Tiger Claw says, what about that arcade 1-Up TMNT arcade cabinet? They must have jumped through many hoops to be able to put that out. Yeah, well, I mean, the Ninja Turtles arcade game, when it came out on Xbox 360, that was a pleasant surprise because the rights were very complicated. Rights have a way of working themselves out.
And also the Avengers and like Capcom, didn't they have like the whole like Avengers cabinet and Marvel it wasn't Marvel versus Capcom. It was X-Men Street Fighter, was it? I don't remember what they had. But they had one. It had like a bunch of those in there, like Marvel stuff. So obviously, I'd imagine the rights were complicated for that too.
The point is, rights issues will screw up all of the games that you loved in the past because contracts were signed under the influence of drugs. All right. That's my point.
Then that means that they technically shouldn't be binding because anything signed under influence can be considered a non-binding contract.
Okay,
but guess where I can have a rights-free utopia out there? It's called the internet. Thank you, piracy.
I may also
guess
be
what art thieves can do. Kiss my ass.
I may also be slightly exaggerating a thing or two about the 1980s game industry. Just a little bit. Let's move on. Speaking of things from the past, blast from the past, right, Dark Sakura?
Yeah, you know me and prototypes and retro shit.
Mm-hmm.
So the Nintendo 64, of course, had quite the unique controller, right?
Right.
Still to this day, like, it hurts if you fall on it just the right way, where the bottom part pokes into your ribs, and then the cat looks at you while you're rolling around in pain. Sorry, that was a very recent experience. So anyway, when the Nintendo 64 was still known as the Ultra 64, there were, of course, prototype controllers that were going around. The controller didn't have, like, a name. It was just a controller. And so a video game preservationist called Shane Batty actually found a prototype controller and shared pictures of it on a Twitter thread.
Which I actually prepared that for our Twitch folks tonight.
Look at you.
Look at me up in my game.
Gold star, Rob. But as you can see in it, the prototype and the final one, a little bit bigger, you know, a little bit different. That thumb pad, you see how much bigger that is on there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and people were saying actually that it's a lot more comfortable to use. Don't know why they opted out of it, but, you know, there's actually a picture of that thumb pad removed from it.
Don't think I captured that.
Hold on. Because I will copy the image and paste it in chat.
But for our Twitch or for our podcast people, that's not going to help, sadly.
Well, yeah. But at any rate, it's just got like a different hold on it. When you look at the two side by side, it actually looks to me like the controller is a little bit narrower. But it seems to me that it's a little bit more comfortable. It did keep a lot of the button design, you know, as far as the layout for the buttons. But I think that normally the green and blue button, which are massive, were a little bit smaller in this prototype and all like sort of flat. They seemed like the six buttons are more in line, where the controller that we got has the four yellow buttons and sort of a diamond, so they don't quite line up. These line up more like a six button controller.
Yeah, it looks like a six button configuration in this.
I mean, honestly, I think it's really comfortable. I would love for this dude to like market that design, or whoever now can market that design, so that, you know, we would be able to use something like that for our old machines.
It's weird that it's taken this long for a prototype like that to unveil itself. You know, it's been years, right?
So if you want to look in the chat right now, Rob, there's a picture I posted in there that's the thumb pad pulled out. And I think that I linked it in there for everyone to see, but it's just interesting how just a small little unit on here, but it has like a deeper recess as well, instead of the more, what's the word I'm thinking of, convex shape. It's a little bit more concave.
So do you think this was the better controller? Would you like to be able to play your N64 games with this controller? Or
I'd much rather.
Maybe a third party will make a controller. Probably not, because this console is how old at this point? I guess it's definitely an artifact of many, many years ago.
No. Just because that may be the case, you know, all it takes for them to do is release a N64 Classic Edition and there'll be a market for those controllers again.
We'll see.
Fair point. You're right. Nintendo might get on the classic bandwagon once again at some point. So,
yeah. All
right. Shenanigans will ensue.
Well, let's move on to a more classic things that Nintendo should get on the bandwagon for, right, Logie?
Yeah, they're going to get on the bandwagon for cease and desist. No. So this is actually kind of cool. So this is a fan project being done by this animator, Jesus Lopez, who's actually animated on several different games that are out there. The Simpsons Tapped Out, DuckTales Remastered, Shantae Half-Genie Hero, Silent Hill. And so he has this fan project that he's working on that is a Super Mario Super Show Mario game. And so he's basically animating Mario in a game in the style of the Super Mario Super Show. So his first world that he's creating is Pasta Land, which is from the first episode of the show. And
it looks so good. We're showing a little bit. This is from the developer's YouTube channel, so he's like kind of filming his computer screen, so you can't even really get the full realness of how much these colors pop and things, but it looks really good, and it looks like a lawsuit will be on his desk by
Monday.
That's
not necessarily true, because,
which is really sad, because this looks great.
He's been working on this for 3 years as like a family project. So his son, I think his 10-year-old son, is coding the game. He's doing the animation, and then he said his daughter is working on like some other like animation stuff, or like kind of working with him on the animation stuff. So, but it's pretty awesome. Like, he's recreated the first level, level 1-1 from Super Mario Brothers, in just
that's not really level 1-1.
It's sort of based on
fundamentals. Yeah.
So he's sort of based it on level 1-1, and he's got like just all sorts of animations in there. The sound effects are from like the actual show. Even in other videos he has out there, there's like kind of this behind the scenes thing that was done by a YouTuber, Swanky Box, who actually showed off some of the animations for the enemies. So like they're from the show and animated really nice. And he's talking about some of the things that he wants to work on. He's got other characters like Princess Peach in there already, and he has a mock-up of what Wario would look like in that art style. So pretty cool.
So how long before Nintendo shuts it down? Because it's on all the gaming blogs now. So
I don't know if he's necessarily planning on releasing it. I think it's more of right now just a project that's kind of for fun. So I don't know if they would send him a cease and desist yet until he tries to like send it, release it out on the internet.
Technically, they could go after the YouTube. I know you don't want to hear it, but technically they could go
but
after
yes,
the YouTube.
But yes, I completely understand. If you have a fan game like that that you're really interested in putting out there, and I get it, if you spend a lot of time on it, you don't say anything until it's released. Just release it, then you say
something.
He's
given it to somebody, because you're right. There was the other YouTube that actually was doing like the game. And the only reason I didn't use that for the stuff we were showing on Twitch.
There's a lot of talking to
because, well, it's not just the talking. I mean, I can delete the audio, which is what I did. But then they also pop up all these other game boxes. Like, there's a bunch of other bullshit that the YouTuber puts over it besides just the game.
Yeah.
Which I get it. It's his program or whatever. But yeah, so I didn't show that. But you know, you can visit that other YouTube. You can actually see the game in motion. But my point is, it's not just on this guy's computer because he sent it to this other YouTuber.
Well, he says at least the graphics. I don't know.
It's being distributed privately.
So I don't know if they would do anything until it's like intent on releasing it. You know, right now it's just kind of, you know, fan thing. But it looks awesome. I would love to see a game like that.
Well, we'll see. If we get through tomorrow without the lawyers attacking, we might be okay. We might be in the clear.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, because maybe next week we'll have a follow-up. You going to keep an eye out, see if this game is still around next week?
Sure, why not?
Sounds good. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about Beat Saber. Oh, that's a game I need to get back into playing because, clearly I was a little skinnier when I was playing Beat Saber a little more regularly.
I as well need to play that because I played it once at that Sacramento thing, and I was like, dude, I need to get this.
Well, there might be some more incentive for you to check out Beat Saber. There is a brand new 360-degree mode coming in December. So now the notes are coming at you from all directions.
Well, that's a good way to get tangled up in the cords.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I don't know if
like that would work for me, like if it was on like the Oculus Go or something like that, where it's only the wireless ones. Uh-huh. But like, I don't know. That sounds like a problem.
Yeah, it might. Well, I mean, and again, I don't know how. Maybe the note charts are going to be different on PlayStation 4, and maybe even though they say it's 360 degrees,
it's like 180
maybe
or
maybe
something.
It's really only like 180 or something like that. I don't know because I haven't been able to play one of these stages myself.
Like, how
yet.
Would you be able to watch behind you? Like, I don't know. That doesn't sound like it'd be fun.
I'm trying to see if they say it's like only 180 degrees or what have you. Yeah, it allows beatmaps to send lines of blocks at you from arbitrary directions as the song plays out. Oh, so it's not just like spinning around behind you, but the note arrows can come in from different directions too. So I think that's what they mean by 360 degrees. It's not just coming at you from here, but it could be up, left, right. They could be coming from all sorts of different directions.
Yeah, I mean, I like the. It's a neat gimmick, but
yeah, I know.
I don't know.
All right. Anyway. I probably won't actually play that mode just because there. Why mess with perfection? The original mode is good. I know, but do you ever watch some people play Beat Saber on Twitch or whatever? Like, some people are like crazy good at Beat Saber, and like some of the songs they're playing are just, I don't even know if I would say it's like good at Beat Saber. It's just like these mods and these custom things are just, they're just fast. They're like lightning fast, and it's weird to watch almost. But I like the note charts for some of like the original like Beat Saber stuff, that like the Crab Rave song. You do like some fun little like the way you like do the notes is fun. That's why I don't always like, it's the same thing with DDR. I don't always like the hell mode steps. So yeah. I don't always like all the hell
modern
modes.
DDR.
Yeah.
Where everything's hell exactly. mode steps almost.
Anyway. Also coming to Beat Saber, it doesn't end there. It's not just the 360-degree mode, but there is a brand new music pack coming out next week. So previously, we had the music pack from Imagine Dragons. So now we're going to be getting a music pack from Panic at the Disco is going to be the next music pack that's going to be in the game. So not techno or even like drum and bass or wow, wow, wow type of stuff. Like, it's kind of different. It's like rock music that they keep putting in there. So I don't know. I'm kind of into it, though. I like the cool Imagine Dragons stuff more than I thought I would. So maybe I'll like the Panic at the Disco stuff a little better as well. So, I was going to say you've got your DDR machine at home. Have you been playing music games at home lately?
I have not. I actually started taking it apart a little bit yesterday because I've been sitting on a lot of parts to convert it over to Stepmania and also other things. So I was looking at, because on this Facebook group that I follow, they have like a lot of people that talk about doing different conversions for things. And one of the conversions I was going to do is removing the fluorescent lights that are in the actual pads themselves and replacing them with LEDs. And so I have all the LEDs to do that. I just needed to see, because I bought the ones that they recommended, but I guess I don't know how you exactly plug all that together. And so I was looking at what came with the LEDs and trying to see how that actually hooks up to the board. And I think I may just have to, like, solder stuff together. I don't know. I don't know if it, like, actually replaces the whole inverter board that's in there and just I just plug it straight into that. So that's what I was trying to determine yesterday. I was looking at it. I was like, oh, and I want to kind of see how dirty these have gotten since I've been playing. Actually, not very dirty, so that's good. I still haven't cleaned my right side pads, though. I'm afraid to look at what's in there. But but yeah, I've been going through that. I was starting to try and work on cleaning my garage.
Do you think
so,
now that summer's over and we're getting back into cooler temperatures?
Yes, I do want to play more DDR again. I do want to get the conversion stuff done just so I can put the system into in there. I'm like, even like, I know at one point I was just like talking about, oh, I'm going to make this new, you know, Stepmania theme. It's going to be awesome. I just MVP, just put the minimal viable product in there. Just get a theme on there that's not atrocious and just load it full of songs and just play it. I just don't really care at this point. I just want it playable. I can do that stuff later at some other date, but that's what I wanted to do. So I'm going to try to get something in there so that I can actually play some different songs and do all that.
Have you been tempted at all to add to Loki's Arcade? Let's assume that wife aggro was not an issue. Have you been tempted to add to Loki's Arcade in the garage?
No, not at all, because I have to. Well, I still have to fix the monitor on my actual arcade cabinet I have out there because it's not working right now. Ever since I moved it in the garage, I don't know if something just. I think the caps on the board burned out, and so I need to have like a TV repairman come and fix it. I would love to just replace it with an LCD panel, which would be nice, but no one makes 4x3 LCD panels anymore. So
yeah, or you'd probably have to get like a real specialized thing online.
Yeah,
something.
I was like, even like the actual like monitors that go in there are super expensive, and they don't sell them anymore. Like, good luck finding CRT monitors. So I may just have to do something horrible.
drastic.
Yeah, I was like, oh, can I find like an old LCD screen, like maybe buy, like, can I have someone custom make an LCD panel for that? Like, I don't even know like how you would go about that. So right now it's sitting broken, but I would love to get that fixed up again. Originally the agreement was I would sell that when I got a DDR machine, but yeah, whatever.
Wait, so there was an agreement that you were going to sell something before getting the DDR machine, but you didn't follow through on that?
It's fine.
All right.
So,
all right.
Like, I would like to do that, but, like, yeah, and I just need to – I really want to get, like, Stepmania put on there because I think that'd be fun. And I have all the lighting stuff now for it, too, and aside, like, the actual boards that control the lighting, I just need to see if it all works together and then figure out how to you figure all that. And I thought about like the MAME stuff. I know, and I actually downloaded like a big old zip file that someone put together for like doing the hyperspin with MAME DDR and stuff like that, but I don't know if I'm going to do that. I just think Stepmania will just call it a day.
All right, well, that was quite the tangent, but that's okay because we haven't had an update on Loki's Arcade in a while, but I understand it is summertime as well, so you know, you've got you haven't been able to be out there in the garage because when it's 100 degrees, DDR is no fun.
Yes, it's not. It's nicer now.
But let's move on to our next story. Dar Sakura has a Minecraft-related thing for us, yes?
I do. Actually, it is not just Minecraft. Ooh. Minecraft is getting a board game. Like, have you noticed, like, have you gone through the board game section at Target and just looked, like, all the shenanigans they have there?
Yeah, it's all, like, poop and pee jokes, I feel like.
No, there's a Trapper Keeper game.
Do you know how many poop games there are? It's so gross.
It comes in a mini Trapper Keeper.
Kids are obsessed.
And there's, like other, like, 80s-themed, like, games. But I think it's cool that Minecraft is getting a board game. It's called Builders and Biomes. It's a tabletop game that uses different elements. So you explore your overworld and you build your structures and you mine your resources. Almost sounds like a little Monopoly-ish. But then you have to create these connected biomes of forests and mountains and tundra and all this on your player board. So you've also got Endermen and Creepers that show up in there that you have to defeat with weapons that you collect through the game. It just looks like it's kind of cool.
Where's the part where Loki yells, "I'm a creeper," kaboom, and flips the board over?
I don't flip board games over.
Well, board games are expensive now. But it's being released by Ravensburger, which is an interesting name.
Okay.
They've also done a game called Villainous that uses Disney villains, and they've done a Jaws one and a Universal Monsters game. But this one, it just looks kind of cool. I don't know. Maybe we could get folks together and play a little bit of this. So,
is it an $80 board game? You're right. Board games are expensive.
Let me look at the pre-order.
Again, video games are $60. So,
pre-order says $40.
Okay,
$39.99.
That's a fair amount. There's probably a lot of loose pieces with a game like that.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of stuff that interconnects.
All right. Well, moving on with more Minecraft, Loki.
Yes. So there was a lot of stuff that came out of the Minecraft or Minecon Live, which was this Saturday. So some of the things that they talked about there, one of which is Minecraft Earth, the game I've been looking forward to. It is going to be coming out.
Everybody says it's their answer to Pokemon Go, but it's just
an
AR
game.
It's not Pokemon Go. It's just like it's
Minecraft
their real
AR.
World Minecraft game. Yeah.
So it's a Minecraft AR game, and that's going to be coming out in the next couple weeks. So looking forward to that. I've already pre-registered in Android for that. So we'll have to check it out. Some other stuff they announced. So they had a vote on which biomes they're going to add to the game. So there's a brand new biome that's going to be enhanced mountains that's going to have, goats, and they're going to be adding some more snow and stuff like that. And they're going to be really tall. So that's pretty cool. They showed off some more stuff for Minecraft Dungeons that looked pretty cool. They announced that next year is going to be a Minecraft Festival from September 25th to the 27th in Orlando, Florida. And they said it's going to be a 3-day celebration with all things Minecraft. And what else? They talked about an update to the Java version with honey blocks and bees.
So not the bees.
So you can get bees.
Oh, right. You can get attacked by bees now in Minecraft?
They are neutral mobs, so don't attack them. They won't attack you.
Okay.
They talked about some creator tools so you can do different scripting. And they have, like, the editor stick that you can use to edit things, rotate stuff around, make full crops, stuff like that. So it sounds a little bit like some of the other tools that they have in, like, World Edit or whatever. Realms Plus, that allows you to add. They've expanded the realms for the same price. And you still, I guess, get access to 10-player realms. And they have 50 pieces of content from the Minecraft Marketplace at no extra cost. They have a character creator and Bedrock Capes. It's like a Windows 10, Xbox One, Android app that you can create your own characters and import them into Minecraft. They did another update, which they have a lot of new biomes. So Soul Sand Valley, Netherwart Fortress Red, Netherwart Forest Blue. They have Piglin Beast, which is a new mob that appears in the Nether, and they've named the zombie pigmen to zombified piglins, and piglins are going to be these kind of like caveman characters that are pigs, I guess cave pig characters, and they will be hostile. And then a new block, which is a target block that if you shoot it with an arrow, it powers redstone.
So they're not doing Minecraft 2. They are continuing to make these big upgrades to the original Minecraft, but no 4K graphics.
Well, remember they have
ray tracing, ray tracing,
so yeah. You can get that. But yeah, you have to have a beefed up computer to do that unless you use mods.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, going from Minecraft to another game that's a couple years old, but people are still really into it, and that is Overwatch. But Overwatch going to be getting some major character kind of rebalancing and character shuffling around. There's no new characters or new stages or things being announced, but there is still a very large patch that just went to the PTR, or public test realm, which is for PC players of the game because they don't have PTR on the consoles. But September 24th saw a pretty big PTR patch be delivered. And one could kind of also see that this is in advance of the Switch version coming out. So it's almost like they're doing some rebalancing before the Switch version is out. They're doing some pretty big juggling with heroes like D.Va, where the defense matrix is going to be changing. The regeneration rate is increased, and the delay before the regeneration begins is lowered. And many characters are getting changes. Sigma is getting quite a few changes as well, which is, like, Sigma's the one new character in the game that I just can't get into. Like, I like Batiste, I like Orisa, I like a lot of the other characters they've added. I don't really care for Sigma. I don't get him. But maybe these reshufflings will help a little bit because, it sounds like they're making him less powered, which this always happens. They roll out a new hero, then they got to nerf him. So Kinetic Grasp no longer blocks certain moves. The experimental barrier regeneration rate was reduced, and there's a cooldown after recalling the barrier. So they're changing some things a little bit. But like Winston, they're buffing up a little bit. The duration of the barrier projectors increasing, and the health is increasing as well. Lucio's crossfade speed boost is going to get stronger, and that sounds like that's going to be a pretty big change for Lucio. So yeah, a lot of changes going to some of your favorite characters there. Symmetra again getting a bunch of changes. Photon barrier's duration is being reduced. Sentry turrets, their overall output damage is being reduced. And a photon projector, if you're getting hit by it, you'll be able to hear it more. So, yeah, lots of heroes in Overwatch getting changes, but it also just goes to show, man, this game just keeps on going.
Yeah.
Yeah, Overwatch is still... And I didn't really play it this week, but just within the past couple weeks, I will bring up Overwatch and randomly play quick play. I really like the new role queuing because I like going in there knowing I'll get to play a healer, and there's a pretty good chance I can play Moira because usually I want to play Moira. But even if the other healer beats me to it, I like to do Lucio or something else. And it's like I know somebody else isn't going to snipe that hero position or that healer position, and we're going to have enough – like we're going to have a well-rounded team. You don't have like everybody trying to pick Hanzo. Like in the first week of the game, it was like, wow, our team is entirely Hanzo and Widowmaker. So, yeah, that's really helped a lot, I think, when it comes to Overwatch. Anyway, we're going to go back to a simpler time. It's the classic game of the week where, you couldn't patch games like this. You couldn't keep a game going for years and years through patches. You just did sequels. But anyway, Darksoccer is going to open up the gaming vault, and we're going to take a trip down memory lane with this week's classic game of the week. Darksoccer, what did you pick for us this week?
I picked a game called Osmin. Are you familiar with it?
Not really, I've got to admit.
Osmin was produced by a company called MitchellCore. However, the development staff was mostly ex-Capcom staff, including Yotsui Koichi, who was the original designer or one of the original creators of Strider. And this game is considered an unofficial sequel to Strider.
Like a spiritual successor type of thing?
Well, at the time, it was the sequel.
Oh, okay.
It was considered, I mean, not necessarily a spiritual. He called it his Strider 2. You know, and I mean, you can see just in this little, video here, a lot of things in common with Strider, just with how it looks, with, the flashing, the climbing the walls, the acrobatics. It was actually, he calls it an irregular sequel. So where Strider was set in a sort of futuristic Soviet-ish setting, in this case, it's more of a cyberpunk Arabian style setting, where instead of Strider Hiryu being a Japanese guy, you play a Middle Eastern protagonist named Kiren, and he doesn't use any weapons. He's just full fight. And you go through all these different exotic locations and fight enemies to stop this international sort of federal government, or the Federation that's taking over the entire world. So you're going to try to infiltrate and try to fight everybody and be the man. At any rate, yeah, as you'll see, it has a lot of the same attack sequences that Strider Here to You does. It's A to attack, B to jump, C to do your screen clearing attack. He also has like some different power-ups, and he has different techniques. He has the sliding technique that's very much like Kiryu slide. He has some throws for human-sized characters only. One of them is called the Hell Wheel. The other is called the Izuna Drop. He has one called an attack called the Shredding Dance, where he does like a three-punch combination, and it's stronger than the basic kits, but difficult to use. And the Kirin Star Festival, where he kills all the enemies on screen. I just think that's a great name for it. So, you know, you actually have different branching paths, and there's no actual checkpoint. When you die, you respawn where you were last killed. Although, in the final stage, you have checkpoints there. So it's a little bit more difficult. You have your power-ups in here that are different than Hideo's power-ups. So you get one that changes his pants to purple. That's the power-up. His pants turn purple. Okay, a little bit more than that. He gets an energy double of himself. Think of Ninja Gaiden with this. And it does the non-upgraded versions of Kirin's attacks, and then it will fly away and re-merge with Kirin. The second one gives him red pants and two shadows. And the third one gives him white pants and three shadows. The last one changes his pants back to black, so he gets his original pants back. And does energy blades with his kicks that increase his melee range. And then it's a limited set of attacks on here. So the game is, I mean, it was pretty much just like if anyone wanted another Strider game, then Osman was going to be your game. It's really fun. It was only ever released in the arcades. So you will not find any sort of home version for this outside of, you know, MAME. It had a different name in Japan, by the way. It was called Cannon Dancer, which I think is a cool name, you know. Osman doesn't really make a lot of sense because Osman was the name of a Turkish, I want to say a Turkish prince or king.
Why do you think that they've stayed away from putting this in any type of, like, retrospective collection? I mean, is it a complicated rights issue or what?
I don't know, but I've never really heard of MitchellCore outside of this game. It looks like that the hardware for this was a Data East 156. So, wait, in Japan it was released by Atlas. But I don't... Let me look at the Mitchell Corporation. I want to see what else they've done. So they were a Japanese company. They hired Capcom and TAD Corporation employees. And they were owned... the president was Roy Ozaki. I'm trying to see what else that they've done. They did basically... they did titles for home consoles, handhelds, Japanese mobile games, arcade and interactive kiosks, and printed circuit boards for the coin-op market. And then they started developing games for Nintendo hardware. They were best known as the developer of a game called Puzzloop. They did the Pang series, which we got as Buster Brothers, and distributed by Capcom.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew I'd seen the name, but it didn't really stick out to me. Nintendo of America released Puzzloop for Nintendo DS under the title Magnetica. And then there was a four-player version called Magnetica Twist on WiiWare Service. Tokyo Crash Mobs is the last of the Puzzloop series. So they did Ballistic. They did Funky Jet, licensed by Data East.
Well, Questbusters kind of confirming Mitchell Company went under a few years ago.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the other names to see if any of it just looks familiar. Charlie Ninja, that's a fun name. They did Polarium. Chokan Hitohide, Yeah, I'm not really seeing number battles.
Okay, nothing to do with Strider. Clearly,
yeah, Tokyo Crash
Mobs. That they did.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the list of everything just to see if there's anything else that looked familiar. Yeah. So yeah, and funny enough, yeah, Osman was a 1996 release, and there were zero. I would think that if it would get a home release, like I don't know who owns the rights to it now. I mean, what company ate up Mitchell?
Their assets might have been liquidated and are all over the place, for all we know.
So, yeah, then we don't actually know who owns the rights to it. But I can tell you that it was published in Japan by Atlas. So I think if there was going to be any kind of home version release, it would have to go out by Atlas, at least in Japan.
Well, if you're going to pirate it using MAME, at least you can feel good about the fact that there is no official way to support this game. Pirating is pretty much the only way you can play it. Not that I usually would endorse that route, but... hey,
I might go digging.
You don't want me to pay for it.
Dude, wouldn't it be cool if like we bought the rights to Osman?
We'll give those to YYR as well. Even though I think he's pretty clearly said he doesn't want the rights. He's trying to raise a child. Just take the gift.
I want to do the rights. I want the rights for this and release them as mini cabs.
There you go. Like the little Mortal Kombat thing.
No.
Oh, okay.
Like the $100 mini cabs or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Orange Wright in chat says, come on, Walgreens, this is your chance. The Osman and Ms. Pac-Man cabinet.
But you know, this game though is if you like Strider and like the challenge of the first Strider, this game is really, really amazing for that. I would definitely encourage everyone to load it up and play it. Or if you find an arcade machine of Osman in the wild,
fucking tweet it to us at OLR.
And you take a video of yourself playing it, I will handwrite you a letter and mail it to you.
Of thanks. You will handwrite a letter of thanks and send it to the listener.
It may not say thanks. It may have an Instax photo of me.
Yeah.
Or the cat. Or Mr. Smush. Or my foot.
Okay.
But I'll send you a picture. I just can't guarantee what the picture will be.
Okay, that's fine.
That's your prize.
All right.
That's what I'm holding while Time to Pizza is going on.
It's it's yes. So while there is one person participating in Time to Pizza, everybody else gets to participate in the Find an Osman Machine, literally anywhere.
Find me an Osman that works in the wild and send me a video of you playing it.
And you will get a Polaroid or something.
You might get maybe an Animal Crossing trading card.
Okay. All right.
I've got dupes.
Anyway, I think that's it. My B-roll's running out. So there it is, your classic game of the week. Osman. All right. Orange Wright says this contest can be called Time to Osman. I like that. It's time to play this game. Check it out.
It really is a very good game, though.
It is. And if you're on the podcast feed and you can't see the Twitch, you know, stuff because you don't subscribe on Twitch or whatever, like at least like go look up a YouTube long play of it.
GGKS.
Yeah, so you can see the game.
GGKS.
What's that?
Gugurukasu. Means look it up on Google, stupid.
No. Let me Google that for you.com.
No.
All right. It's Osman if you're curious. Like,
Osman.
How to spell it.
Or Cannon Dancer.
But you do want to put Osman video game because I think there's some YouTuber out there.
Well, no. Osman was a real Turkish dignitary of some kind in the ancient ages.
But also now some big YouTuber, because when I searched for the game, I just put Osman first and I got some YouTube dude. Oh, and I was like, you're not a video game.
The first thing I get is Osman the First or Osman Gazi, who died in 1323, who was a...
Questbuster says founded the Ottoman dynasty.
Ottoman Turks, exactly. So there you go.
Even old history New lesson. York was once New Amsterdam. Why'd they change it, I can't say.
Maybe they liked it better that way.
Sorry, I can't help it. Whenever anybody talks about the Turks and stuff, that song comes to mind. All right, anyway, it's probably... I hope that's not disrespectful. But.
Yes, the Ottoman dynasty, bringers of, you know, foot rests everywhere.
Tartatius is careful. You don't want to risk a mute. Oh, come on. Do you know what else I played this week? I just didn't put it on stream.
What?
We'll talk about this, then we'll get into rapid fire news because we don't have a break segment tonight. I played Twitch Sings.
What?
I actually played. It's just because I was like, this icon is on my desktop and I've never clicked it. Click, click. And I played a little bit of Twitch Sings. It's Karaoke Revolution. It is pretty much exactly that game.
Did you get your ABBA on?
Fuck yeah, I did. It actually has a pretty robust library of songs. I was pretty impressed. It had my Alanis song and everything.
And do they mute you, though, if you... I mean, I would assume that they don't.
No, because it's their game. So, I mean, and you're... They're all karaoke covers, so they're not the real song. So, and I imagine they must have licensed the rights, because they don't have every song ever made, but they have... and you can do duets. That's what I thought was the interesting thing. So, like, a streamer could start, and then there's a phone app that does this, too. And then you can go in and do your half while the other
one is going.
Oh, my God.
Does that mean I can get someone to do Islands in the Stream with me?
You could, yeah.
If I could be Dolly.
If I can fix my sync, I'll do Islands in the Stream, but I get to be Dolly.
I don't want to be Kenny Rogers. He's, like, full of preservatives. Have you seen that man's face?
Islands in the Stream.
Stop!
I can't
knock it off.
I can't.
I had to listen to my wife get triggered to sing songs, like, by every single word in the goddamn, like... English language. Can you just stop? Can I get a break from that for just a little bit?
Dan and I just make up our own lyrics to things. And then we sing songs about the cat.
Is that an invite to sing a cat song? All right. Anyway.
Fish heads. Moving on. Pulley, pulley, fish.
Oh, you should. Wait. Stop. Before we're going to derail this train a little bit more. So, like, we watched. There's a show on Netflix now. It's, like, explaining different things, like, that they have there. And so one of them was K-pop. What is K-pop? You know, explaining
Korean
what.
Korean pop music.
It's K-pop explained. So my wife saw that and she does not like K-pop, and she also doesn't like the fact that I'm like, well, you know, I don't necessarily listen to this stuff, but I've listened to some K-pop music. Of course you would.
I liked Monsta X for a hot minute, but the rest of it's really cookie cutter.
Speaking of karaoke, since we're derailing the train, I did not know we had one of those places downtown, like right across the street from the Crest. There's one of those places you go upstairs and you can rent a room, a karaoke room, and like have it. And you can get sushi and stuff and drinks like delivered to your little private room. Like there's a whole, like it's a whole
so
little.
So it's like a legit karaoke and not just like drunk white people karaoke.
But, well, it's both.
But Coriana Plaza, you can do the same thing.
Well, but I'm
they're really
there's
expensive.
One right
there's the place actually that I like to go do karaoke is in. Japantown in San Francisco. Upstairs, they have like a little bar, and then they have the karaoke rooms.
I don't think I've been
there. It's
really
fun.
All right, anyway.
There's a better place in Alameda, though.
Back to video games. Let's get to rapid fire news.
All right. So we talked a little bit about what's coming to PlayStation Plus in October. Let's talk about Microsoft. So Microsoft is getting... I love this name. This is awesome. So the first game on the list is Tembo, the Badass Elephant. That's coming to Xbox One and also Friday the 13th, the game. That's going to be the second half of October through the middle of November.
Tembo, the Badass Elephant. Sign me the fuck up.
It is your free game.
He's not Dumbo. He's Tembo.
And then your Xbox 360 compatible games, really scraping the bottom of this barrel, Disney's Bolt. Remember that movie? And then Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge. That's going to be the second half of October. And then let's celebrate 130 years of Nintendo. That's right, they turned 130. And you may be thinking, well, wait. What am I talking about? You guys know that they've made card games before they made video games. Jesus Christ, I'm not going to explain it. Like it's a big shock or anything, okay? But yeah, so 130. And they are the oldest, or they're one of the oldest gaming companies. Apparently, Taito was founded in 1953 and Sega began in 1960. And they are much older. So, good for them.
Wait, not if you're in 1960, you're not older than... Nintendo's way older than that.
No, I said Nintendo is much older than them.
Oh, okay, I get it.
No,
yes.
Sorry, I know math.
I got it backwards. Do you? Okay.
Yes.
Moving on. Let's talk about, speaking of Nintendo, let's talk about the Switch Online collection. Have you gotten a Super Nintendo controller to use with your Super Nintendo games on the Switch? If the answer is no, then you're missing out on a cute little extra something something. If you have the Switch Online Super Nintendo collection and the controller that goes with it, when you go into certain Super Nintendo games, the collection menu will replace the standard sound effects with some from Super Mario World. Ooh! You get sound effect replacements for having spent all of that money on that controller. Whatever. It's cute, I guess. But, and, you know, honestly, all snark and that stuff aside, the Super Nintendo controller really was, like, one of, like the perfect controller in many ways. I mean, yeah, it didn't have analog because gaming wasn't there yet. But for, like, non-analog stuff, I don't think there was a better controller, in my opinion. Anyway. More Nintendo stuff. This is interesting because apparently the brand new character, the Dragon Quest Hero, was banned in competitive play in the official Nintendo France tournament. That's right. Nintendo in France banned one of their own, the Dragon Quest Hero characters. But then Nintendo ended up unbanning them. So Nintendo is standardizing rule sets for all tournaments across the European Team Cup in response to what France did. So they said in a quote, "We're harmonizing these rules across Europe to make sure that no community or country is disadvantaged when competing in the Pan-European final next year. In terms of future fighter releases, we'll create more detailed guidelines for our tournament organizers to make sure that we maintain a level playing field through consistent fighter eligibility across Europe." And I suppose France had no choice but to surrender to this official designation from Nintendo of Europe. So there you go. All right. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Stuff. Anyway, Grandia, the first and second game, which are actually a couple of games that I super, super, super like, are going to have HD remasters coming out for PC on October 15th. And you know I'm going to get it because I fucking love the first Grandia. I mean, it'd be nice playing a version that looks good that I don't have to bust out my Saturn for and then sit with a dictionary to play. But it will have both the English and Japanese audio. It will have enhanced sprites and texture art, UI improvements, widescreen support, and customizable resolutions. And it will have Steam achievements. And you can also, of course, do custom controller mapping. And then I believe that these are already out on Switch, and there is a patch coming out for it in November. So there you go. But freaking Grandia, oh my god, one of the best RPGs ever.
I figured you'd like that news.
Heck yeah. And then House of the Dead 1 and 2 are both coming to the Switch. And it is being done by a Polish studio called Forever Entertainment. And they're bringing us the gun games. Hopefully it'll be nice and pretty and higher definition.
So, but how? Is it like, if it's coming to the Switch, is it a touchscreen? I mean,
to be determined. We don't know. When something gets listed on a, you know, rating
board.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. Like,
we don't know.
Maybe we get a specific gun and sensor for it.
Maybe.
Hooray.
Or maybe it's just something you were just going to use the stick to aim and do it that way.
Oh, horrible.
I know, but it might be happening. Dr. Suya suggests Joy-Con aiming. Maybe you point the Joy-Con and move it that way using the HD sensor or whatever. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
Insert Marge Simpson noise here.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. What is coming out a little sooner than the questionable House of the Dead remake? Loki, what's coming out in the U.S.?
We have Cube World that's coming out on PC. Call of Duty Mobile on iOS and Android. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep, that expansion's coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation 2 on PlayStation 4. Ready Set Heroes on PC and PlayStation 4. You Know, a Girl Who Chants Love at the Bound of This World.
Wow.
That's a name.
That is a name.
That's on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. One Night Stand on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
My heavens.
It's a visual novel season, apparently. We have Seasonia, When They Cry, Phase 1, For You, The Replaceable Ones, on PC. Man, with these subtitles. Ghostbusters, the video game, remastered on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Also, One Night Stand coming out on Nintendo Switch. And last but not least, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
All right. Well, going over to Japan and checking out the releases there. PlayStation 4 kind of slow this week. The only real major release that I see on the Japanese release is the Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Breakpoint, because that's like a worldwide release pretty much. It's coming out everywhere. That is also no exception in Japan. That is coming out over there. I was trying to see if maybe there's a huge game on Nintendo Switch this week that is the reason why they're not putting out anything really on the PlayStation 4. But the biggest things I see is that there are some new Nintendo Switch controllers in different colors. I know some people are going to be wanting like the purple and the orange, maybe. Although I think a lot of that, I think a lot of those colors are releasing here. That is on the list for the Switch this week. Otherwise, the only other big thing I see is the Amnesia Later cross crowd for Nintendo Switch in a regular and limited edition, and Super Robot Wars V. Those are really the only big releases this week in Japan. So a bit of a slower week, all things considered, but there's a few things. How about Europe, Dark Sakura?
In Europe, we have a handful. On the 30th, we have Ghost Recon Breakpoint Gold Ultimate Edition, Sniper Elite 3 Ultimate Edition. On October 3rd, we have Sega Mega Drive Mini. This is fun to say Sega Mega Drive that fast.
I didn't realize it was so delayed for Europe, because, you know, the one here is out. The Genesis one is out.
Yeah. Ghostbusters, the video game remastered, comes out. Yay! Friday the 13th, the game Ultimate Slasher Edition also comes out. And Ghost Recon Breakpoint, I guess the normal version, is out on October 3rd.
Cool.
That's it.
All right. Let's go to our mailbag. Every week we invite your emails to participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read our favorites here on the show.
My favorites are zero because there aren't any.
There are no emails this week. What
nope,
a pity.
So you know what this means.
Oh, that's right. We get to do Drag Race talk, but there's no Drag Race airing right now. But
they're doing Drag Race Canada.
Okay, so I'll ask this question. What do you think of all the... Because remember, folks, when you don't send us emails, we have no choice but to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race, Loki's favorite thing in the world.
Right.
So what do you think about all these international versions? There's Canadian, we're going to get Australian.
UK.
The UK is coming out soon.
Thailand's great.
I'm going to be honest. This is why I'm a little bit like, oh yeah, that was the threat we made to the listeners. I'm kind of burned out on Drag Race. Like, I don't, like, I know they're making a season 12, and I'm so burned out. Like, the time to do these international versions was 6 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I was kind of wanting to watch Dragula this season because they have a drag king on there, Landon Sider, who I've seen perform a few times in LA. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, you know, that big thing went on about how misogynist the word fish is. And just for anyone who does not know, you
was
should
was that covered
know by
in
now.
Dragula?
I thought they talked about it in Dragula.
I don't watch it.
But some of my local queen buddies were talking about it. That, you know, typically in drag, the word fish is used to mean extremely feminine, which comes from a derogatory about female anatomy and about certain odors that could come out of it. And so basically you're calling femininity a smelly vagina. And that in and of itself is highly misogynist. Stop it. At any rate, there's been... I had to block a couple of the Bay Area queens over it because they just didn't get it. Like, oh, well, but I have a shrine to femininity. And yeah, so you're objectifying us then, right? We're just something to have in a shrine and not to actually respect.
I have a fish friend.
Our fish died this week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well,
Mr. Smush wants
I say
fish.
Our because it was basically the kid's fish, but I had to take care of it.
You had to flush it down the toilet?
What kind of fish?
Oh, I just threw it away.
Oh, we don't... That's sad.
What kind of fish?
It was a beta.
Oh, okay.
Let's buy another one.
Anyway, the thing about Dragula, I don't like. I think it's very stylish, and I like that style of drag. I think it's really fun. I think those extermination challenges are the stupidest thing in the world. They're too much. They have nothing to do with drag. It ruins the show for me. Absolutely ruins the show for me. So, anyway,
yeah,
that's it, though. But I do think it's rad that Dragula has more variety in the performers. That's pretty cool.
See what happens when we talk about fish and then the cat comes.
I know, right? It's like Mr. Smush speaks
English. You got fish for me?
Chicken? No, now he's just scratching his back. All right, anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about more news. We're going to get to Loki with another story for us.
All right. So we talked a little bit about, like I said, the whole PlayStation event, and now we're going to talk about the After the State of Play, there was a whole Microsoft Inside Xbox presentation. So stuff that they talked about then, of course, Xbox Game Pass came up. So they talked about new games that are going to be coming out on Xbox Game Pass, including Jump Force, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, and LEGO Worlds are being added on the Xbox One side. And then on PC, Cities Skylines, Saints Row 4, and Bad North in Dirt Rally 2.0. And they said that the Xbox Games app or Pass app has been updated as well with some additional improvements, including they said there's going to be more indie games coming to Games Pass, including Genesis Noir, Lonely Mountain Downhill, and Demon's Tilt. And then what else? There's going to be a brand new game, comedy puzzle game called Felix the Reaper that's going to be available on October 17th, available on Game Pass that day as well. They talked a little about Project X Cloud, their streaming service that's going to be available soon. So apparently if you're in the U.S., U.K., or Korea, you can apply to be able to test that out. And so if you have an Android device and a wireless Xbox One controller, you can sign up to preview it. And so I will have to check it out, except I don't have a wireless Xbox One controller, although eh, I could use another controller. So might as well pick that up and maybe sign up for that. And then, of course, early access for there's the game Atlas that was a pirate MMO game that was on Steam Early Access that's coming to Xbox One on October 8th. And it's also going to be available simultaneously on Xbox and PC. I'm assuming they're going to have the same game on both platforms. And then there's a brand new Xbox One X and Xbox One S hardware bundles that include Forza Horizon 4 and the LEGO Speed Champions expansion. So that's about it.
I like that was timed the same day as Sony's thing. It's cute.
I'm sure that was completely coincidental and not intentional one bit.
She-Hulk 10 in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, Xbox is working hard, or excuse me, Xbox is really working hard. It will pay off soon. You know, I do think the cloud thing is going to be very interesting. I'm really curious to see how that's going to change up Microsoft's landscape. I feel like I'm definitely personally am more excited about what Xbox is doing with that and Microsoft, I guess, with the cloud than maybe like Google Stadia.
So does that X Cloud stuff tie in with, is that only games that you own, or is that like if I have Xbox Game Pass and I have X Cloud, then I also get access to all those games and I can play them streaming? Because that I could see would be very interesting, especially with all the deals that they had with that.
Yeah.
That may be worth it.
Yeah, I would love if I don't have to do these huge downloads to do things on Game Pass anymore. Like maybe I can just fire up Gears 5 on the cloud. I might be more inclined to test it out and see if it's something I would like want to download.
Yeah.
So I'd be very curious to see how that all kind of comes together in the next couple months.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Because like October is supposed to be the launch month for this, right? Or at least at the beta. The preview or whatever they're calling it. It'll be interesting. Excited for it. All right, well, I'm also excited for an updated version of Bloodstained. That's right, Bloodstained is going to be getting a Switch update, and it's been delayed, and there's been apologies, and you know, the Switch version, which is the version I have of Bloodstained, has some problems that ended up getting apologized for. There were supposed to be several small updates, but then there was a big one that got delayed, and da-da-da-da-da. So they're saying that the new patch will be focusing on four areas: visual fidelity, loading times, particle effects, and input lag. And they really get into the weeds of this. I'm not going to get into all the, you know, details, but they are working on it. They're going to be doling out two updates, and the first will sport the vast majority of changes. The second will improve performance. So they are saying the goal is the end of November, assuming that there is no further delay. It should be noted that the game is not even out in Japan yet. So October 24th is when the game is supposed to come out in Japan. The Xbox edition is going to be getting some extra stuff, some DLC, a balance update, and some HDR fixes and so forth. So there's still much more to come with Bloodstained. But it should be pointed out that Igarashi is still planning on making Bloodstained a series. In an interview with Game Informer, because, you know, I know we heard about the cutbacks, but there at least is still like one or two more issues of Game Informer. So Game Informer had an interview with Igarashi. who talked about the pressure of Kickstarter and so forth, because that's how the game was funded years ago, right? Because it was years ago. So anyway, quality control, he said, was the hardest part. When you're working with an outsourced studio, it can be difficult to match the quality line when things changed. With Bloodstained, we would first share our goal with the outsourced studio and make sure we both agree and determine the necessities. But even with proper planning, it's difficult to reach. So anyway, he does say that Bloodstained is a starting ground for the next step and wants to make a series after putting in the effort with this. So we'll see if maybe there's going to be a Bloodstained 2 or something else, maybe in the same universe, maybe just not the same name.
To bring back my dude.
Who knows?
Bring back my dude.
Fifth Dream today in chat says, I'm mad about the Switch screw up. They're delaying all the DLC I paid for in the Kickstarter to fix it. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that they are delaying DLC.
Glad they're fixing it. You know, not every company always fixes their problems.
I get, but like, you know, what I'm saying, not necessarily that, yeah, it sucks that your DLC is being delayed, but I'm glad they're focusing on the fixes versus the DLC, right, like some other studios.
Trying to get more money first. Yeah, I get it. I get it. So, cool. I still need to sit down and really play the game more, but when I heard they were going to fix the Switch version, I was like, well, let me just wait till the fix comes out then. I mean, I've waited this long to play Bloodstained. What's another couple months, right? Dark to see you in chat.
The PS4 version is really good.
Was that?
The PS4 one is pretty good.
That's cool. Looking back, I probably should have got a different console or something. But I don't know. I love my Switch. What can I say? Dark Tetsuya in chat says, at least they're trying to avoid another Mighty Number 9 situation. Yeah, they are. So at least there's that. All right, let's move on to another story. Speaking of things on the Nintendo Switch, right, Dark Sakura?
Right. So the original Yo-Kai Watch, which I hate how they put the hyphen in it. The word doesn't need a hyphen or... whatever. Anyway, Yo-Kai Watch, the very original one, is going to be coming on to the Switch. And there is a second trailer up for it now on the official YouTube channel, and they're getting online battle support. And so this is looking like it's going to give you quite a bit more about the original Yo-Kai Watch. I mean, there's not really much else to say because it's Yo-Kai Watch. But it's nice for people who might not have had, you know, the experience of playing it when it came out. Of course, the trailer for it is in Japanese, but hopefully we'll be getting getting an English version for fans of the series. So it looks pretty good, though. I mean, nice and clean, and looks like it could be fun. So there you go, Yo-Kai Watch. So anyway,
all right. So something that came out of State of Play, the PlayStation event, was some more details on Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is releasing here pretty soon. And one thing that they announced is, unfortunately, that the Modern Warfare Survival Mode, the part of the Spec Ops thing, is going to be exclusive on the PlayStation 4 until October 1st, 2020. So if you're looking to play that part of Special Ops, you're going to have to buy it on PlayStation or wait a whole year for the brand new Call of Duty game to come out, and then they'll release that on there. Of course, there's been some backlash regarding it, but according to the developers, they're saying that, well, it's only like 1% of the game. To which I said, well, if it's only 1% of the game, then why lock it as a console-exclusive feature then if it's not such a big deal? Obviously.
But you personally would pick up these games on PS4 anyway, right?
Yeah, or PC. I don't know. It depends. So, yeah, probably on PlayStation 4, but I don't really care.
But still, it's the whole... Still annoying. I get it. Yeah.
It's a very Activision thing to do.
Maybe that should just be like a trademark, a saying. It's an Activision thing to do.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But that must mean, what did they get in exchange for that? They get like free ad dollars promotion. They probably get more featuring on the PlayStation Store, which I'm sure, you know, a lot of people, you know, just impulse buy things like that. They see the ad for it and just push X to spend money. And they, you know, they do it if they're a fan of the series.
And I don't know if that necessarily is going to be a big push for that, but it still kind of sucks that you feel like you're not really getting a full game on the other platforms.
Right. All right. Well, before we get to some Discord calls, if you want to be on the show, head on over to our green room at our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. That's vognetwork.com/Discord if you want to be on the show. Or you can ask some questions in our chat room as well over at twitch.tv/vognetwork. But before we get to that, we have one more story tonight, and it's another yikes involving the game Fallout 76. Just when you thought it was over with all the yikes things going on with Fallout 76. This actually has nothing to do with the game itself. It has to do with the collectible edition of the game, the $150 collectible issue of the game. A recall was issued by the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission for the Power Armor helmet for Fallout 76 sold exclusively by GameStop, as if they haven't had enough bad news.
Well, technically, it's not the collector's edition of the game. It was a collectible helmet that they released. They did have now the two, you know, not to get it confused with the helmet that did come with the collector's edition.
There's so many ways they get me to spend more money.
But it's another helmet that was also collectible that they were selling exclusively to GameStop.
I see. So anyhow, noted on the website, which you can see yourself because it is a government website at, I think it's cpsc.gov, and you can see this for yourself. The fabric insert used for the helmet may contain mold. And if you have a compromised immune system, that could be trouble.
Or allergies even, just allergies, because depending on how bad they are, I mean, it could close air passages and all that too.
So yikes. Now, and a quick follow-up to this story running around the internet, Chronicle Collectibles, who made this helmet, did want to clarify the only affected units are the Nuka-Cola-branded red helmets. Only 32 units were actually reported as being sold. I'm sorry.
Well, then I guess it's not such a big deal now that I think of it.
Only 32 units. Only 32 of these were actually sold in the entire fucking country. 32 were sold. And apparently the customers that were impacted have been reached. Any other Power Armor helmets, because I guess there's other types, were not recalled. So to be fair, they may have sold more of them, but of this particular brand, they sold 32. There's that many people watching on Twitch currently. Congratulations. We make up the entire population of the world of who bought this collectible. Oh, boy. Fifth Dream Today just does want to point out it's only if you wear it, LOL. Thower66 says at least it's not radiation. That's true. Here's the thing, though. It's just one of those things where, like again, I hate to dogpile on this game, but, you know, there's a lot of questionable stuff with this game to be able to. It's just like another one of those things where it's just like, here's another one. Even though it was only 32 units, it's still like it's mold. It's gross. People don't like to hear that their products that they paid $150 for have mold, whether there's only 32 people or not. So it's just, wow. Anyway, let's move on. Let's see if we have anybody in our Discord server that wants to give us a call.
I actually have some good news.
Sure, go for it while I get our Discord server set up here.
One of our dear friends and listeners, who we haven't probably heard from in a little while, has been kind enough to arrange me to get the Link's Awakening Slurpee Cups from Canada.
Oh, yeah. I was seeing some of this exchange on like Twitter or Facebook or something.
Hopefully it will arrive soon. It was mailed out on Tuesday, so I'm doing the happy dance because I want my Zelda cups. Just saying.
Okay. You were saying something else about Slurpees in our chat. Like, I guess.
Yes. Black cherry Slurpee. And it's black. It's goth as fuck.
Does that mean it makes your tongue black too?
I hope so. I want everyone to see my deathly pallor from the inside.
The black is actually mold.
No, black cherry deliciousness.
Moldy flavor.
And you mix that with the Coke, though, you no one will tell you have mixed it with Coke.
All right. Well, we do have a call waiting in the green room to come on the show. And I knew this is actually somebody that wanted to come on tonight to talk about something a little. I thought this was kind of neat. So, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
It's Shane.
Hey, Shane. Welcome back to OLR. You've been on the show.
I know. It's only been a week.
I know, right? Like, you've been calling a lot lately. How's things been with you?
Things happen.
What?
Fine. I said, well, a lot has, like, things keep happening that make me call, so.
Well, what do you want to talk about tonight? Because I think this you told me a little bit about this beforehand. I thought it was interesting. So,
yes. So there is – I'm sure there are other ones, but we just found out about a virtual reality gym here where we live.
Tell us more.
It's kind of interesting. Okay. So it's called Black Box VR. First of all, it only has two locations, according to the website, one in San Francisco and one in Boise. That's it, which is just really random.
Hmm.
But in it, it's you play a game, basically, and all the like attacks and stuff you do are different types of workouts. Like some are rowing, some are chest presses, some are squats. And the game is like a MOBA, so you can send out units, your computer opponent will send out units, and there's like an elemental wheel, and you can pick units to send out, and you have to do, to send out a unit, you have to like do different like punches
Quickly for the Twitch people, we're playing their little commercial that is the best kind of thing that you can sort of see it in action, like how this whole thing works. Yeah, it is their commercial.
That is pretty cool.
And yeah, it's a lot of fun. In fact, I kind of forget that I'm working out, except I get tired so quick because I hate working out. But you've got like two force fields on the side of your crystal, and they have two force fields, and you basically have to break down at least one of the force fields using these different workouts in order to attack the crystal. And if you break their crystal, then you win that round. And it goes for about three rounds per person you fight, but they'll send out different types of units that have different elements attached, so you have to counter them. And it's a lot of fun, and I really can't stress how awesome it is.
All I gotta say, though, just normally playing VR stuff and then watching that last seconds of that clip where he's swiping his sweat off of his brow. I hope they disinfect those headsets pretty well. Like, I hope that
I assume they do. They're not sparing any expense, it feels like, because they're using Vive Pros and they have little things that attach to your hands, and they have this like box once you're done that like sanitizes everything, and you keep the little wristbands but not the attachments that go on them. They give you a headband. It's pricey, though. We're doing a 30-day free trial right now, but they're pretty new because they've kind of fluctuated in price, and they're still taking feedback to send to their engineers on, like, well, this is too hard or this isn't working right. But, like, for a 30-day membership where you go as much as you want, it's, like, $240.
Ooh, that's
yeah, but it's been jumping around in price because I guess when they started, it was over $300. So doing the 30 days is fine because we have unlimited for those 30 days. And I don't know. Dustin really seems to like it and wants to continue it. I'm like, that's pretty pricey, but it's fun. There's an app. You unlock special rewards. You unlock new units to use, which is really unlocking new workouts, which is terrible when you think of it that way. I'm opening up my app right now. If it would load quicker.
Let me get some comments in chat while you get that ready.
So you can take this home, or do you do it at the gym?
You do it at a specialized location, but there's an app that you can track all your stats. You set up your next appointment. You buy things with coins that you earn from playing. See,
I would just want something I could do at home.
Fifth Dream in chat had the exact same comment that Loki had. Oh, man, I hope they wipe those goggles down really well between customers.
I'm pretty sure they do.
Thower66 says, I think this is coming in the Montreal area. I read about it in the paper. But to be fair, this isn't the only type of VR gym thing that's out there. So it may be this, but it may be like a competing brand, right?
Yeah, probably. So I pulled up my stats. And just for today, for example, it tells me how many punches I did, how many reps I did, sets. I don't know what volume is. I should have asked, but whatever it is, I did 12,000 pounds of it. And it also shows you your areas that you worked out the most per your session. So like today I basically did just my back and then a little bit of my arms, and my knees were killing me from last time. So I did no squats. So I have zero in like that area on the graph here.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that you're getting a heck of a workout when you're doing this, though. I mean, like, watching all, like, the resistance, like, the those things in your arms. Because, like, even just playing Beat Saber on my PlayStation VR, like, I get tired. My watch recognizes that as workout time when I'm playing it because my heart rate goes so far up when I'm playing it. So, I mean, just, like, the VR gaming in general. Well, I suppose it depends what you're playing. Like, if I'm just kind of chilling to No Man's Sky or Skyrim, I'm probably not – I mean, I'm probably burning more calories than I am playing on a monitor. But, like, even just, like, a music game like Beat Saber or that one game that feels like you're rollerblading or whatever, like, gets a lot of motion. So it's, like, I feel like a VR gym setup thing, which is very kind of like a modern thing. I mean, that just really, like, amps it up even further, you know?
Are those wristbands weighted?
They do have some weight to them, but they are not actual, like, they don't adjust in heaviness or weight or whatever.
Yeah,
they're just there for tracking.
I would want something that would hook up to a weight machine of some sort because I don't like straight up cardio.
That's the thing. When Dustin plays, he's more focused on his workout. So he's doing like the actual way to, you know, work out and doing everything right. I just wanted to win, which is bad because I was doing everything as fast as I possibly could.
CrossFit.
But in doing that, yeah. Okay, so I started out CrossFit. But the software and the equipment, when you're going really fast, when say I'm doing like really fast chest presses. So the next time I grab the chest press orb and put it in the virtual slot to start it, it actually ups the resistance to make it harder for me because it saw me just like blaze through these lighter reps of it. And so you actually get more weight the faster you go. But there is, as we learned later, a little virtual button you can press to kind of tailor how you want to do it. So if you want to do lighter weight but faster reps, you can hit that button and then start. Or if you want to go really hard with heavy weight and fewer reps, you can hit that button too.
How does it add resistance though? Is it hooked up to something else?
Yes. So if you saw, if the video was up, I don't know if it is.
I just saw the two people fake punching.
Okay. So there is two hand straps that depending on your attack / what workout you're doing. Yeah. It actually raises and lowers. So there's some sort of mechanics behind in that machine that communicate through the software to add the weight for you because it has to adjust the height of the handles.
I see.
Kicks out the back thing too or the chest thing if you're facing
it. Like a cable machine.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Like the standing cable machine, but it looks like it adjusts it based on the different. Yeah, I've used the cable machines at the gym a lot.
I mean, I totally do that.
So have I.
Not for that kind of money.
Yeah, well, do the 30-day free thing. And like I said, they're adjusting their prices, it seems, since they've been open. It started higher. It's going lower. I assume it'll probably still go lower because it wasn't, like, really popular when we were there. We were the only two people there out of the, like, 8 boxes they had. So,
well,
but it's also a Sunday morning.
Questbuster in chat shares, the high pricing doesn't seem that unusual for VR-type attractions from what I'm seeing. The Void charged $30 per visit for adventure-oriented experiences. You know what, though? I think this is one of those things where it's just the technology is kind of expensive, and it's new, and it's still like that industry's trying to figure itself out. But I honestly think, you know, in 10 years, which sounds like a long time, but it's not, but in 10 years' time, this is the type of technology that will probably be in many more gyms. Like, it's not going to be a specialty gym. It's going to be the type of thing you see at a established chain like 24 Hour Fitness or LA Fitness or whatever it is you have near you. Like, you're going to start to see this type of stuff like you would see a racquetball court or something. Like, I think as the technology progresses, I think it'll probably be more accessible like that.
As long as it's still a game style, because, I mean, even the worker today told us, yeah, there's leagues. Once you do your first two, which we've done now, once you do your third, you are actually ranking up and ranking down. And say you hate squats like I do. Well, there is a person that you have to fight in the game who is weak to all the leg workouts. So that's going to be fun.
Huh. This sounds kind of up your alley too, Loki, because like you could do laser tag basically as like your kind of workout. I mean, it's not VR, but it's still like you're doing an intense workout.
I do dream of a day when Well, actually, I take that back. They do have, I think, I haven't played it in the Disneyland downtown Disney area or whatever. They do have a VR place that is sort of like laser tag, but it's like PvE stuff. You're just like doing co-op with a team, but you're actually walking through like a maze and fighting like stormtroopers and shit. But I do dream of a day like AR laser tag where
this is our holodeck.
All stuff.
But I'll be perfectly honest. I mean, I would want something like this that I could do at home and stop it, you know? But I just keep thinking that it would end up being really overwhelming for me with my sensory issues. You know, it's clearly not meant for autistic people. If it's as flashy as what they were showing the video content to look like.
It's not. I mean, that's an attraction video. Yeah, so it's not that flashy.
But virtual environments can be overstimulating anyway for an autistic person because it's not just the visual input. You're also dealing with the electric input, the heat, the pressure. You've got a lot more than that you're dealing with. And I would want something that I could, like, pause.
They do have an emergency stop. But, yeah, it's each session is 30 minutes. And it actually, like... You know, I thought so too, and I like you said with those sort of issues, it might actually be too long because of all the stuff that's going on. But for me, I was like in the middle of my third battle, and I won because I was ahead, and I was like, wait, I didn't finish. I want to keep going. This is terrible for people that want to win at stuff. Terrible.
And to Jamie's point, this is all still like, and again, you say this only exists in two different places. This whole thing is kind of like uncharted territory. Like, we kind of look at it as gamers going like, okay, wow, cool. This is like a workout thing to the next level. But there's still a lot to figure out. I mean, we're trying to figure out what's the right price. And then I think another question that's going to be asked with this is, how do we make it accessible to more people is going to be, you know, another question, which would include, you know, include these sorts of questions that you're raising.
What I want is sensory deprivation weightlifting. Because when I was lifting heavy, you know, now that I've got the okay to go back and do it, I'm going to, but I would close my eyes or wear a sweatband over my eyes so that I could focus on how my body felt and not have any clank over in the side or any bright lights or loud music interrupting my own progress.
Have you ever done one of those like water tank?
I want to.
Things?
I desperately want to.
I was curious. When you say sensory deprivation, that's where my mind automatically goes.
I really want to do a sensory deprivation tank because it's supposed to be the most relaxing thing ever.
Interesting.
But I mean, I like the concept. I really like the concept. And me having a little bit of, you know, a background and having done heavy weightlifting, it sounds really interesting and very motivating to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if, you know, it would be the right thing for me. And on top of that, I would really be worried about people. Shane, no shade on you, but I would be really afraid for people who are not paying attention to their form and are not doing the exercises correctly, because that is how you injure yourself. Mm. CrossFit,
no, definitely true. Definitely true.
CrossFit has a big problem going on with that. And I, you know, people will preach CrossFit like they preach veganism. You know, it's their religion.
Guess whose husband has recently gotten into that bandwagon?
At any rate, though, CrossFit also is fairly dangerous if you're not paying attention to your form. And a lot of people will try to push their reps over and over, paying attention to, are they doing these exercises correctly? You know, I know someone who had to take a break out of CrossFit because of torn ligaments in her shoulder. You know, people injuring themselves because they're not paying attention to form, because all they want to do is hit those numbers. And that's the big problem I foresee with this service.
Well, what I will say, go ahead. To talk about that for a second, I think what you're saying is 100% true. And the best I think that they can do is kind of the stuff they have already implemented. Every time you pick a workout, it's showing you a video as it's loading up. And if you try to cheat and really just, you know, go at it without paying attention to your form at all, it doesn't know exactly that you're cheating, but if it feels like you're not doing it right, because I may have done some of that today, it will say you've got to stop and check your form, and it won't actually let you attack or account for anything you're doing until you get back into what it believes is the correct form.
Interesting.
So that's good. They try at least,
and it's still probably uncharted territory in many ways. Like, you know.
Now, I would assume it would have like a profile for you, of course, but does it save anything like body dimension, like your weight, your height, your hip to foot ratio, things like that, so that it can accommodate for maybe having, like for me, I got short, stubby little hobbit legs. My squat's going to go a lot lower than the average person, you know, but I have a bit taller of an upper body. So if I'm going to do, say, hold on, I'm trying to do this on the camera, like, you know, a shoulder press. My shoulder press is going to go a little bit taller than it might be expected of my height. So, you know,
the only thing
I want to kind of deep dive on this one now. I'm going to do a lot of research on it because it's very fascinating to me.
So two things to that. One, they only ask for your height and weight when you sign up. And when you go in there, it has you center your head so it can like accurately gauge if you're right about how tall you are for these. So I'm guessing it's assuming that you are of average proportion, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, since it's still really new, every time you're done with it, the app asks you for feedback for that stuff. And the employees there have both times so far like asked for feedback as to what's working, what can be improved, stuff like that. So I think for someone like you who wants it to go even further, and it should go further, maybe trying out that 30-day trial and just going down there once to tell them, hey, this is what I noticed that you should be doing.
Well, might be a drive going to San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going there for whatever reason already, like if you're just taking like a weekend trip or something.
I will say I'm all for this gamification of exercising, and I'm sure this is just like, you know, the next step, because I would say, you know, it's this, or it's We Fit, or it's, you know, now we've got
or Ring Fit.
The resistance band, right? The Nintendo. What was the nasty name I gave it the other week on the show? The Nintendo strap-on. The Nintendo strap-on thing for your leg, because you strap it on your legs. It's the Nintendo strap-on.
Yes. Okay.
So there's that. I'm really excited right now because we're starting a walking challenge at work tomorrow, and I'm gonna get all those steps in and beat my coworkers. So, you know, gamification, it goes a long way. And
we're starting the mindfulness challenge at work. So
what is that? Oh, is that the
10 minutes of the breathe app and using a guided meditation?
Fun.
So kind of the reverse. But no, thank you definitely for bringing that up to us, because I think that it's an amazing concept. I kind of saw something like this eventually happening, and I'm glad that they did. It'll definitely get more people into being active.
And I feel like this one company probably isn't the only one. Like, it's the one that Shane got to see and is reporting on, but I have a feeling there's others very similar.
You know what? Another application for something I think could definitely be incorporated into hospice services, things like physical rehab. Imagine having something like that for people who are just like, oh, this is boring, but you give them a virtual environment in which to motivate themselves to participate in their physical therapy, and then give them some sort of, you know, reward for actually, I mean, my dad would probably need that. He never wanted to do his physical therapy, but if he got a reward out of, like, say that he did all of his physical therapy and he got to get a snack out of the snack machine, my dad would be happy as a, you know, Mr. Smush with the feet are broken and just piling food everywhere. That's how happy my dad would be.
Okay. Shane, before I let you go, I don't see any other callers waiting in the green room. Again, if you do want to be on Orange Lounge Radio tonight, head on over to the green room on our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. That's vognetwork.com/discord. But before I let you go, Shane, any other gaming things going on you want to talk about here on the show?
I accidentally started WoW again because I was on Ambien, I guess, was really the best explanation. And I'm naming my character after The Good Place, which is great. And I have a huge backlog of games, and I just keep playing the Goose Game instead. I don't even care.
Oh, yeah. Quickly, on the Goose Game, because you said this is like the best video game. Oh, no, wait. You talked about this last week already, didn't you? Never mind.
Yeah, I did.
Well, congratulations. I finally broke my ban on Epic and got it.
It's going to be worth it. So
I can play it on my Mac.
It's just the funniest.
I'm
going to
be
game.
At work on lunch playing the freaking Goose Game.
Your coworkers
you just make sure to wear headphones.
I'm not the only one who plays games at lunch, though, at work.
Yeah, you said you had a coworker that did Diablo 3.
Yeah, a couple who do Diablo. Some people who've done, because Borderlands plays on Mac.
Oh, yeah.
So.
All right, cool. All right. Well, Shane, take care. I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay, and everybody watch the Pokemon stream on Friday. It's 24 hours. Who knows what it's going to be?
It's a mystery. All right, bye.
Yep, bye.
All right. Oh, this will be fun. Oh, gosh, if this is who the label says it is, this is going to be so much fun. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is Jim Sally, motherfucker. I'm back from the past.
Jim Sally is back? Bitch, I thought you were dead.
I was for a little while.
Wow. Ooh, and the quality. See, a lot of people give us shit for ditching Skype, but the quality, like Jim Sally's coming through in HD now. I love it.
Listen, brother, it was so much easier before when I could use the fucking regular telephone.
I know. I know. Things are complicated now.
I had to sign into shit, and I'm fucking, dude, I'm a little bit baked, and I had to, the thing kept asking me if I was a robot, and I'm like, dude, I'm not a robot. And it was like, look at this picture, and where's the traffic lights? And I'm like, I don't know, man.
But look, you can see us. We're video. What do you think of ORB video now?
Dude, it was pretty crazy, man. When I was watching fucking Bobby Blackwolf before, man. Jesus Christ, Bobby Blackwolf looks a little bit wolfy. You forget sometimes. You forget sometimes.
That's a compliment, though. Smooth. Bobby Blackwolf's a good-looking man.
He is a good-looking man. And when I hear his voice, I picture like a smooth, debonair, like, you know, a little short hobbity sort of, but still smooth and debonair, techie boy. And then you see him now. Shit, son. Put that man in a moped, and I'm stepping back. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what the hell have you been up to? What's been new over the past 2 years or however long it's been?
Jeez, man, a couple years. I was working at a marijuana farm for a while, getting that all set up for a couple years, but it was about an hour away from my house, so it was taking up a lot of my time. Sunday nights, I was always there with no Wi-Fi service. No OLR, man. And it's not the same listening to it as a podcast when it's not live. I don't know why. It doesn't seem as fresh.
It's the podcast, and I listen to myself sometimes just because I'm my own worst critic, and I often come up with the ideas on how to do better things when I listen to the show. I think part of the fun is that you do kind of feel like you could influence things through the chat room and stuff like that, where it's like when you're listening on the podcast, you can't really change anything. You know, you can't influence the show on the fly. We have had complete fucking utter derailments of this entire fucking show that have happened because of a chat comment, you know? And when you're on the podcast, although sure we invite the tweets, we invite the emails. It's not I fully admit it's not quite the same when it isn't playing out live, you know.
Yeah, man. And now that I got my weekends back to myself, I want to spend a little more time listening and calling in, man.
Well, good. It's so good to hear
time.
From you.
I'm getting, Have you been playing any video games? Yeah, so I was able to get my gaming life back together, and I bought this thing called a PS4. Have you ever heard of this thing? They went up from a 3 to a 4, apparently, while I was away.
How far north in Canada are you? It's
too far. You forget, man. It's far, man. But it's fucking far. I'm still living on the same goat farm that I lived on before. Nestled away in Her Majesty's bush, as I like to tell people.
My goats grow fat.
My goats grow fat munching on Her Majesty's bush. Bitch, don't pay no rent, though. Tell you that much. Put a goddamn face on the 20, but she ain't paying me no rent.
While you've been working out in the bush at the grass farm, what have you been playing on the PlayStation 4?
Well, I went out and I got the Fallouts. I got the Fallout 4, which is unbelievable. I can't believe how amazing it is. I just lose myself inside that world. It's crazy. The evil things that you can do to people with the police around. It's just spectacular. But then I tried to play the Fallout 76. And fuck, man. People are evil, man. I can't play Fallout. They should go Fallout 76. Fallout fucking shoot Jim Sally in the face. Because every time I crawl up on somebody, I think it's going to be a nice, hey, I'm going to use my... I fumble around and I try to get the fucking handshake emoji on, and sure enough, the motherfucker will shoot my hand off and then kill me and steal my shit. Like, wow, this is a great game. This is a great game. I get to be an NPC from Fallout 4.
Isn't that the worst when you try to go and do like the handshake emote and then you accidentally do the one that's the middle finger instead? Ugh.
And I don't want to be like cruel because, you know, I know it's kind of profiling and shit because I'm sure most people playing that game are a dick, but there should be some sort of like mode I have where people know it's Jim Sally. I'm not a dick. Like, you should be cool when I roll up on me.
Have you thought about changing your PlayStation 4 name to Jim Sally, not a dick?
I tried that, but then I got this thing that said it was bad because you can't have a dick in your name. So I tried cock. I tried penit. I tried penis. That didn't work. I tried pen 15. I tried pen 15. I was like, ha ha. No, they fucking knew about it, man. Like, shit. I'm fucking behind the times, man. I'm behind the times. I just learned that. I just learned about Twitch today.
Well, welcome. It's a beautiful world here.
This is unbelievable, man.
Fifth Ring today in chat says the PvP has calmed down a lot since the early days. Way less griefing. And we have multiple suggestions for a former chatter from back in the day. Pen 15 is another way you could do it, which is also a show on Hulu that Extifer like made me watch. And it's pretty fucking funny. Anyway.
Oh.
So, Jim Sally, is there anything on your PlayStation 4 wish list? Like things you want to play?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because I'm just getting back into it now. So I know that Christmas time is coming, which means all the old games are going to be for sale. I already bought the new Gran Turismo. Jesus Christ, I was melting away on the Gran Turismo. I can't believe it. You just fall. And then I thought for the longest time that I was the greatest racer of all time. I couldn't believe it. I was flying through the corners. Nothing could stop me. Everything was perfect. And then my friend came over, and I played on his profile, and I couldn't do it. And I said, what's going on? And he said, you got it on girlfriend mode. I said, what the fuck are you talking about, girlfriend mode? And he explained to me it was all like auto braking and no damage.
You know what?
He put it on real mode. I suck now.
That mode got some strong feedback for what it was being called. But there's no shame, I think, in playing video games on an easy mode, especially if you just want to experience the narrative or the story, you know. But yeah, I mean, you're not going to maybe get trophies or be able to say, oh, I got the best score because, you know, you're playing on an easier mode. You did make me think of something, though, that we didn't have in tonight's show roll, but as maybe like a little bit of a last minute story, since you are, you know, a little newer on the PlayStation 4 bandwagon, you know, you're not the only one. Some of the games are coming down in price. In fact, just 2 days ago, Jim Sally, so recently, like this week, caught off the press, they have reduced the price because they have put some new games in the greatest hits package for PlayStation. So, new games, $20 for these games.
$20.
Plus 20 American. Far Cry 4.
Just so you know, we call that a queenie.
God of War, Gran Turismo Sport, Rayman Legends, The Crew, Uncharted: The Lost Legacy, and Watch Dogs are all down to $20.
Dude, I'm set.
The original Watch Dogs?
Yeah, I guess the original for whatever. Yeah, that's what
I think I bought that for $20 like a few years ago.
Maybe I'm. Is it going to be the super editions though, where I get all the extra bonus shit?
Sometimes, like I know, like I just saw at Target or one of those places, like the Horizon Zero Dawn, which is a game I've been meaning to try. It's another one of those like open world exploration games. It's got, if you like Fallout, it might be something
delicious.
It
was like
$20.
Well, I'm gonna get it.
And it was the base game and the DLC. Yeah, right.
I love cheap games, man. I love it.
Cheap games are the best.
I got a little boy. He's 4 years old. Daniel looks just like daddy. A little fucking little mini fucking Captain America. Oh, I love him. And sometimes we get into the game bins. And I used to always have a hard time looking in those fucking game bins and shit. Because there's a lot of games in the fucking game bins. But you know what's great at finding games in the game bins? 4-year-old Johnny, you fucking pick him up, you put him right in the middle, and he fucking digs in there like it's a fucking ball pit. Comes up. Daddy, what you got there, motherfucker? I got the motherfucking Fallout with the GTO painting on the side, Daddy. You got the... I said, Daniel. And Daddy, I put the sticker from the cheap game on it and see if we can get the cheap. I said, God damn it, that's a good boy. And you put it, that's when you let him ride in the little basket of the cart. You know what I mean? Proud. Let him ride in that little basket of the cart. Maybe push him across the parking lot. See what happens. Good job, son.
God, I fucking missed your calls.
Those are the kind of moments you could have together with your boy.
Do you let your children go Walmart dumpster diving? In those, that's why they're just dumpsters where they put all the. I mean, they're not like actual dumpsters, but they just put all the cheap Blu-rays and all the games go in those big Walmart dumpsters. Do you let them go dumpster diving?
Oh, they don't care about any of that stuff. They want to play the demo kiosk for the Nintendo Switch for games that we already have at home that they just got done playing.
You got a Pavlov dog, those motherfuckers, man. You take them to the Walmart, it's got the McDonald's built right in, and you tell them, you want a cone? Yeah, daddy, I want a cone. We know what daddy wants, don't you? Yeah, daddy,
I always look at the closeout stuff, but they always have like it's like Titanfall 2 or something. I'm like, I already own that. I don't need another copy of Titanfall 2.
If we gave our episodes titles, I would say this week would definitely be, you got a Pavlov dog that motherfucker.
You got a Pavlov dog that motherfucker, man. Kids are dumb, man. Pavlov dog that fucking shit, man.
Jim
you
Sally,
can do it, man.
I have missed you so much on this program, but I do have to let you go so we can wrap things up. I hope to God we hear from you again, though.
Dude, yeah, man. I'm going to get my Twitch and my fucking Discord game on pack. Try to figure out some shit. I saw some fucking live streaming channels or some shit on you fucking shit I should be checking out.
You should Who get knows, into man? Live streaming. Now, I just said earlier in the show, don't get into live streaming to make money. But Jim Sally, you're going to be like Ninja 2. I just know it.
Well, then I'm going to go karate chop the fuck out of the night, man.
You all right.
Yourself. Good nights, brothers.
All right. Talk take care, my soon. Friend.
Later, boys.
Later, bye. I love hearing from Jim Sally. That was the best. That made my night. We're not going to take any more calls because nothing else is going to top that. But if you want to send us an email, you sure can. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Make Dar Sakura work next week. Y'all gave her the night off tonight. So make Dar Sakura work and read your emails next week.
Girl. So if we don't get emails next week, though, we need to think of something other than Drag Race talk.
Karaoke. No, I'm kidding. I won't torture Loki anymore. Let's see. I would Islands say food talk, but we stream. Do that anyway. No,
guess what my mom sent me?
Uh-oh.
My mom sent me a Southern Care package
that
contained 2 bags of Waffle House grits, 2 cans of boiled peanuts, and it's BOILTPNUTS if you're from the South, and some jambalaya mix. And I am a happy little mud bug.
All right. Well, we'll think of some type of appropriate punishment during the week.
That's what we call crawdads.
Mudbugs?
Mudbugs.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show so we can head on out. And, yeah, thank you, though, of course, as always, for your story. Oh, actually, wait. I didn't check for any other last-minute stories. I did one, but I don't know if you have any others, Loki.
I had a couple things. So
okay, sure.
The first one is the composer, Bobby Prinz, who wrote music for such games as Doom, Doom 2, Wolfenstein 3D, and most notably, Duke Nukem 3D, has filed a lawsuit against Gearbox Software and Randy Pitchford and Valve, claiming that his music was used in Duke Nukem 3D 20th Anniversary World Tour without his permission and without him receiving compensation.
Uh-oh.
So he's saying, in exchange, that he's requiring that a royalty of $1 per unit sold be given to him. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And then last but not least, there is a new shooting collection that's coming to the Nintendo Switch. The Psycho Shooting Stars Alpha, which is coming here. It's got Strikers 1945. Looks like Strikers 1945 3. Zero Gunner 2. Dragon Blaze. Strikers 1945 2. And Soul Divide. Looks pretty cool if you like your classic arcade shooter games. And that's coming out January 24th. Oh, I'm sorry. That's in Europe. North America is getting January 21st.
I have another quick little last-minute story. So Metal Mayhem was sharing this in our Discord. And usually I don't share all the sales and everything because there's a lot of sales going out there. This one's a little bit interesting, though, because Devolver's doing a sale through Good Old Games. And it's not just games, but it's movies. Which I know we sometimes forget that movies go on sale and on platforms and things as well. But then I'm looking at some of these movies and there are things that I haven't really heard of, but they're really cheap. And I imagine these are indie movies. For example, there's a movie called Burning Man Beyond Black Rock. So I imagine that it's from 2005. So it's a little older at this point, but I imagine there is, like a documentary. I did not know Angry Video Game Nerd made a movie, but it also doesn't surprise me at the same time. That is on sale as well.
That was about the E.T. thing.
The Angry Video Game Nerd? Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. There's a movie called Austin High, which I think I had heard about that one. I'm trying to see what else is a little newer. I mean, a lot of these are older movies because they are only like $1.50 at this point. Pixel Poetry, Steam Dream, and Good Game are from about 3 years ago. So, kind of neat. So, there you go. Check those out if you want. So, and Dark Tetsuya wants to point out that Games Done Quick did a little like Twitch Con Edition, GDQX. They raised $150,000 for Able Gamers.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
Oh, that's right.
At the start of the show.
We got the final number, though.
Yeah, they actually exceeded last year's.
That's great.
Numbers.
Yeah, good job. Able Gamers is a good charity, so congrats to Able Gamers. Yay! Gamers doing good things. That is a great note to end this show on. So we're going to go around and get everybody's final thought, but I do want to say thank you, of course, as always, for tuning into Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you for your support of our show, be it on the podcast feed or watching here live on Twitch. We really appreciate you and your support. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put on air, what are we to do? So, a nice review, a 5-star review on one of the sites goes a long way. Hosting on Twitch, I can't stress how magnificent that is. It's discoverability. It's very important. And all that's even going to become bigger as Twitch goes through some of these big changes in the next couple months to their main site design. Anyway, thank you again. So let's go around and get everybody's final thought. I'll start with you tonight, Loki. What's your final thought?
I did work on my game this week. I forgot to mention that in my game week. It was mostly bug fixing because I had done a bunch of changes and done a bunch of changes, but that was the same time I had deleted the actual pieces of my level. And so then I put them all back. And so they had a lot of stuff to fix because something broke. And now it's back up to where it should be now. And so I can build from that. But that was my Saturday.
All right. That's awesome. My final thought for the night is you can't really see it on camera. You can see way in the corner, you see some boxes sticking out just a little bit. You can see it underneath my Golden Girls vinyl pop figures, which is what's on the right side.
I got you on this.
There's a whole side over there that's just nothing but boxes and boxes. And what that is Grandpa from the Horde House days or Captain Matt from Starboard Power Coupling. That is all pumpkin spice shit of different stuff. I haven't opened it yet because I'm waiting for the last of it to arrive tomorrow, and then I'm going to do a Facebook Live where I open it all.
And then I'm going to come over and help you eat it.
I'm kind of scared, but I'm also like, that's a lot of waste. Like, why couldn't it just be in one fucking box? Like, but you know what I'm...
Cat Condo.
You know what he gave me last year?
Cat Condo.
Do you know what he gave me last year that actually lasts a long time?
All that syrup over there?
It was the syrup, but the pumpkin creamers, they actually... There was like 4 boxes of pumpkin creamer.
You gave me a box.
I gave you a lot. And then I put it out at work, and I just invited coworkers to come over and steal them. And they did. And, you know, it was great. Shared the love. So anyway, all I can say is the classic Jesse Spano line. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. Last but not least, Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I've got a really busy week. I've got the con guide to finish. I've got Rosh Hashanah service tomorrow. I've got to take Midden to the vet. Got a lot of crap on my plate, but I can do it.
You can
do it.
I believe
in myself.
I believe in you. And maybe there's another design thing I might be interested. We'll talk later.
Rob, do you believe in life after love?
Of course. All right. Anyway, that's it. Bye, everybody. Good night. We'll see you next time here at Orange Sounds Radio. We'll do this all again next week. Sound good? Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.